live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Just see those sleigh bells jingle and ring, tingle, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you. Outside the snow is falling and friends are calling you. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
6:12 and good morning. Welcome back, Steve. Thanks.
Hey, welcome back, Steve.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks.
Missed you.
Missed you guys. Andy Mazur's here for Dave Ennett, who for some reason is coming back tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, he's coming back tomorrow. They've got a game tonight at Welsh Ryan, so he'll be here tomorrow. Yeah.
But he's been off all week?
He was off yesterday and today.
Yeah, he was here earlier, Monday.
Yeah, he was here Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. I take a lot of grief for taking 3 days off. I go, what are you taking 3 days off for? I want to come back and do a couple of shows before the end of the year because I'm off all next week.
Yeah.
I like this new schedule. Three off, two on, take the following week off.
Yeah. Work a day here, day there.
I actually miss doing the show, though. See, if this was real work, if this was at an actual job, then you'd go, whew, boy, I could really use some time off. I actually miss doing the show.
Well, we missed you doing it. I'm going to take the rest of the show off, by the way. Pat Brady brought me these Graham chocolates.
Those are good. And where are those? Hi, Pat.
Graham's. I'm done.
Graham's in Geneva, Illinois. Best chocolate.
Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi, Steve.
Why don't you cover the protocol?
Sorry. Hi, Steve. Good to have you back.
But those are great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas tradition now
very
for
tasty.
Andrea.
It is. I love it. I'll share with you guys maybe.
Yeah, well, I'll be taking some, I'm sure. Christmas is, you know, yeah, this statistic, Pat, I don't know if you're aware of this. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the average American gains 74 pounds.
Yeah, I'm about right there. Yeah.
I think I'm right there, too.
So. I got some work to do.
It's 6:14 around the world this morning. The Germans say they know the guy that drove the truck into the crowd of people and had him in custody on two or three different occasions and let him go. This is a 22-year-old, I believe?
24.
24, yeah. And was already doing time in prison, did 4 years in prison already on what amounted to a series of misdemeanors. He's a bad guy, and he's a dangerous guy. And there is now a search on across Europe, which is an expanded version of searching for the Tsarnaev brothers in Boston, where every law enforcement authority is on the lookout for this guy. But you remember when the Paris bombings occurred and that network of brothers ended up in Belgium and finally got the ringleader? He was actually held at the border from France to Belgium and then let go. And had to be tracked down in a shootout in a neighborhood outside of Brussels. So, you know, expect a bad ending here. I don't know any way around it. But hopefully this guy will be caught very soon without injuring or killing others again.
You know what's great, too? In Europe, what they're able to do is go in and conduct these raids, you know, and grab up with these people ahead of time. There's not all these crazy laws in effect. They go in, they grab these people. If they find that they don't, like they did in the first case, when they thought they had the guy at first, then they let him go.
Yeah, we live in a time where, you know, search warrants should be optional and it should all be cleared through me. So, now, Pat, you were as an attorney. Where do you fall on this?
I think that these
If he's a bad guy and I think he's a bad guy, we should be able to go get him.
They're acts of war and the civil criminal justice system doesn't apply. Go get him and kill him.
Right. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. This is a guy who drove a loaded truck with tons of steel onto a Christmas market and mowed down people. The death count, I'm sure, will continue to rise.
Well, that's the debate here, too, the way they had handled terrorists and terrorism in this country. Is that something that goes through the court system, or is that something where we go treat it as an act of war? To me, these are all acts of war.
Meanwhile, in Russia, we'll delve into this a little bit later and get into more of the political side of things. The Russians continue to say they're really looking forward to President-elect Trump taking the oath on the 20th, and that'll
Trump's kid dimed him out yesterday, right, saying that he was deeply in bed with the Russians?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was this Eric again?
He's the one, yeah.
I think
with Billy Carter, I mean, there's a
this theme. Was this was the son that Donald Trump referred to as his douchiest son of the two. His word, not mine.
I think my dad called me that once, too.
Yeah. Not on the show, though. There's this foundation that isn't a foundation that got busted for trying to sell access to Trump for $1 million for a photo op and a conversation after the inauguration, which both Trump brothers claim they had nothing to do with, but the legal documents filed to form the foundation have their names all over them.
Can you imagine the conversation when those guys fly around that jet, the whole crew of Trump's what they're talking about?
You know, it's kind
of a sitcom.
Yeah, it's kind of a, and if it had theme music, it'd be I mean, there's a certain amount of learning the job as you go, because nobody knows how to be president until you actually are president and you figure it out through the day you leave the office. But there are certain things that have to be handled. And one of the things that people have to come to grips with for electing Donald Trump is honesty is not his instinct. Honesty is not the thing that is his go-to position. Honesty is just one of the options.
Yeah,
it's just something he might do. So it's 6:18, and let's get traffic here. And Mary's here with that. And Mary, you should see the wrapping job Pat did on a present he bought for me. You know,
really?
You didn't have to buy me anything. Guys don't buy guys presents at our age.
Are you sure he did?
It has to do with your age, though. And it's not what I got you a couple years ago.
You got me diapers 2 years ago. You got me adult diapers.
You still have them?
Yeah, they're in the office. Yeah.
You haven't opened them, have you?
Every year that goes by where I don't have to crack the seal, I feel like a win.
He's waiting till he'll depend on them.
Hello!
That is not a bad rap job.
Oh, honey, you didn't say.
Oh, that's a bad rap job.
What the heck is that?
I'm not a great present rapper either. But
it's
that's,
huge.
Well, you should see the backside of it.
Oh, no tape, Andrea?
It's the
no
thought
tape.
That counts. It's something
it
you need.
You know what? Here's
your
the deal.
Age, it's something you need.
Here's the deal. It's the thought that counts, not depending on what's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you shouldn't think of things. I'll open that up.
The only thing I think about or worry about is what I think or care about. So, but I think this is very thoughtful. Yeah. That's my logic.
It's the thought.
I'm not concerned what you think.
I can get you elected to the White House. Hey, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sing it for me. Steve Burness, Better Business Bureau. Coming up in about 10 minutes. A couple of musical things coming up later. The Hamilton cast scheduled to be in studio. Eliza. And is Hamilton in the studio as well? We don't
Hamilton
know.
Hamilton might be. Hamilton has some family commitments today.
His family commitments at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yes. It has to do with, I think, his son.
Oh, well, that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Later, John DeCosta says it's the best thing he's ever done. It's the Jimmy DeCastro song.
Oh,
Jimmy DeCastro, the guy that brought this place back and was foolish enough to rehire me, left the station about a month ago, something like that.
Last week of October, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy is about to go on vacation with his family. And John has put together this song for Jimmy, so we'll play this for him.
Now, is Jimmy going to be here to listen to his song?
No, but we'll call him.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
And one other thing musically, and a lot of you may have seen this online, there's a 10-year-old girl from Ireland who has been dealing with autism for her, you know, her life. And she's a very shy kid, very sweet kid, and goes to a school with a lot of other kids who have specific special needs. Was said to be extremely shy and not talk much at all. She sings Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah that'll make you believe in God if you don't. I mean, it's that good.
I just watched this morning, like 15 minutes
It's
ago.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I almost missed a traffic report because I was listening.
Oh, you would have been on off the hook if you did.
Oh, my
It would have been fine.
Thank you.
I looked at this thing for a couple of days and I go, I gotta listen. I kept clicking through. I advise you, and I've tweeted this out. I advise you to take the time today to watch this kid sing. It's amazing. So we'll play that for you a little bit later on.
And just to remember all the words.
It's a complicated song, right? But as a kid, you don't need to know what the words mean. The just amazing thing to me is this kid who can't muster up the courage to talk to other kids can sing like that, and what a gift that is, and how special that is. And at a time of year where we're all wondering whether or not we're going to be here next Christmas. But, you know, why not have something special?
We might be speaking Russian. You're not telling us, Steve? Yeah.
Like we'll be dead?
No,
or
we'll
fired.
Be fine. Okay. Everything's going to be
Big
fine.
Difference there.
Everything's fine. And Pat Brady's here, and we'll talk about we'll talk about politics. So yesterday, the Hawks were nice enough to invite me to their Christmas party. And my brother Mickey and I went to the Christmas party. So Mickey, speaking of special needs, my brother has special needs. I told him many times in life, he's my hero. He's been sober for 13 years. He gets up every day and from New York and calls me and says good morning. And we talk for a bit on the way to work. But he's been visiting out here for about a month now. And my brother's 58. And he gets up every day, tries to be happy. He's a real lesson for everybody. You guys know this because you know him. Gets up every day, tries to be happy, tries to make other people happy. But one of his main functions of the day is figuring out what food he's going to eat for free. So yesterday he met Rocky Wirtz, the owner of the Blackhawks. And one of the things that's great about Mick is how direct he is. And he shook Rocky's hand and said, "Nice to meet you. Where's the food?"
Oh, no.
No.
That's great.
That's hilarious. And Rocky probably said, "Right this way."
Yeah, right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy yourself. But it was a nice party, and Rocky and John and Jay throw a good party. But the cool thing was all the guys were there with their families, and so many of them are dads now, young dads with little kids. And Santa came by to see the little kids, you know, and I look forward to this with Abigail, to see the little kids' faces when Santa comes in the room.
Oh, it's so cool.
So a nice party by the Blackhawks, but, you know, they always get it right, so I wasn't surprised there. Anybody else do anything special this week that I missed?
Mm-hmm.
You sounded great on the air yesterday.
Oh, thanks. Amy Guth and I had a great time. Afterwards, my mom and I went to have tea at the Drake. Isn't
Pat,
that cool? I haven't done that in a long
Pat,
time.
You and I should do that today. Tea at the Drake?
Yeah, that'd be
they
quite
had some
a picture.
Great finger sandwiches.
Oh, I'm guessing we're not getting in the Drake together.
Some cream puffs. That's how you could pay Pat back for your beautiful gift that
I should
got
open
you.
This really.
And you should open because
yeah.
It relates to what you're just talking about. And Steve, you're older than I am, so I know you like to
was
watch.
Was it 2 weeks older?
Well, whatever, but you're older. And
literally, two
not
weeks
that he's
older.
Counting yet.
You get to that age, your circulation gets bad, and I know you like to.
It's true.
I know you like to watch hockey, and
uh-oh.
So I think this.
What is it?
Oh, it's a Chicago Blackhawks. This goes perfectly with the story. It's a Chicago Blackhawks throw a blanket.
Oh, nice.
That I can throw on my lap to keep my lap warm while I'm crocheting.
Oh, nice.
Or you're eating your the meal, you know, your TV meal.
Yeah, something I could gum.
I thought it was going to be.
But
those,
sometimes your feet get cold. I know that. So
I literally thought he was going to give you compression socks.
Yeah, this is beautiful. This is beautiful, and I mean,
well, it goes
that.
With your eyes.
Thank you. Which part? The yellow, the black, the red.
Do you want me to call and make your reservation for high tea now?
I don't know.
Or should I wait?
Now, here's the thing. Finger sandwiches, we like to go in and just push our fingers into the bread and then throw them at each other.
Are those the ones without crust?
Yes. There's cucumber, and there's tuna salad and salmon salad.
Oh, they're the best.
You guys would love it. Yeah. Little cream puffs.
You should have a tea party on the air.
Pat, I feel kind of bad that I didn't bring your present in today. So if you guys could just hand this to Pat, here's $20.
Can I? You know what I need? Can I break this and then give?
No, just give her the $20.
I owe you some golf anyway. So
there's the $20, Pat. Thanks. Merry Christmas. I wasn't planning on getting you money, but you know, I can take back the other thing I got. So it's
which was?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was worth $20.
Are you crying? You look very emotional here.
I am emotional.
Get the gift exchange.
You know, grown men don't normally buy me lap blankets or whatever those are called. At 6:20. Now, I have a dilemma, though, because I have presents for you guys. Tomorrow, we're going to do the
Secret Santa.
The Secret Santa thing. Mm-hmm. But we've already had to do a couple of those this week because, like, Jake won't be here tomorrow. And
Orion.
And Orion won't be here tomorrow. By the way, Orion, if you're listening, now I've got your booze.
Who'd you send it to? Oh, Orion.
And Grzanich is out all week.
Yeah, and he forgot Jacobson's present.
So here's, did he really? That's sweet. So I think I've got, you know, a handful of stuff that I carried upstairs. I think I'm just going to hand it out today. And tomorrow Dave will just be on his island.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, you know what, Andy?
It'll be funny to watch that.
I wasn't sure what day you were coming in, Andy, so.
Oh, here we go.
More cash.
Do you have enough?
It's great.
Yeah, Andy, I didn't know what to get you.
I have change.
And apparently I'm out of 20s. Here's three fives.
Nice.
Here's $15.
Yeah.
Enough for one Starbucks.
By the way, don't think Andy won't take it.
Andy,
I give it to him.
Can I borrow five for a coffee?
Sure, take five.
Okay.
Take five.
Right, here we go.
Take 10.
The rest of you have actual presents. 6:31. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I don't do karaoke. But when I have, This is my go-to. Oh, yeah.
Little BTO. You
know, 5.5 minutes of me just going nuts on stage. When I start to headbang, you know, whip my hair around, that's where it's a problem because, as you know, I don't have any hair. I actually gave myself a concussion.
I can see that.
Yeah, it's painful. Steve Burtis is here from the Better Business Bureau. Good morning to you, sir. Yeah, let me get a mic on it works. How about that one?
How's that one? Good morning.
And Steve, you are the chief executive and grand poobah.
Grand poobah.
At the Better Business Bureau.
Right.
And I would think this would be the time of year where there's scams galore.
There is, unfortunately. The one we're seeing today, mostly in this week, is the fake charities are popping up.
But I would also think that at the end of the year, you're just going, you know, I've been warning you people all year long.
Never
if
stops.
You don't have your act together by now, good frickin' luck. Isn't that what we're saying here today,
basically,
Steve?
We're saying, but it's also job security for me, too.
Oh, okay.
So you got to be careful there, Steve. So.
All right, let me run through a few of these. Sure. What is a secret sister exchange?
Secret sister is like a chain letter.
I got two sisters. Can I exchange them?
No, unfortunately, you can't. Okay. It's like a chain letter on the internet. It's illegal because it's like a chain letter, and postal regulations prohibit it. So basically saying, you know, give us money, and we'll put you on a list, and other people will send you money. So. It's almost like a chain letter on the internet. Don't fall for it. And they're using wine now, too. So send a bottle of wine to somebody, and you'll get 20 bottles in return.
They pitch it like a gift exchange. So it'll be on your Facebook wall. It'll say, hey, girls, if you want to join this wine exchange, send money or post this or repost it.
I know we're on the front line of cynicism here, but some of these things that come up, I don't know how people buy into them. And I'm not mocking them. I'm just going, you know, I love the fact that you trust people, but come on.
Well, some of it comes from your hacked friends. So if your friends are hacked in Facebook, and then they send all your friends a note like it's coming from you when it's actually not you. So just because you get something from your friend doesn't necessarily mean your friend had anything to do with it. It could have been hacked. So
and pick up the phone and call them.
Call them up. Yeah, exactly. Don't never click on a link. And that's probably the worst thing to do on Facebook and the social media sites is click on a link that you don't know anything about. If you want to go to a company, type in the link yourself. Go to the website directly. If you click on a link, you can go anywhere to an organization or website that has spam, malware on it, and it can infect your computer, lock your computer. Last year, a police department in the South Suburbs had to pay the ransom because their computer was locked. They followed the link. So it happens to everybody. Unfortunately, people still believe it's on the internet. It's true, and it's not. You just got to research it and check it out first.
Generally speaking, there's an umbrella term, help scams, that I'm going to help you do this, I'm going to help you do that. Is this a big time of year for them?
It is a big time of year, especially because people are starting to travel now for the holidays. And we had earlier this year, we had a person that worked in a bank that fell for that help scam, basically saying that his granddaughter was injured in Mexico and needed help. He needed to be wire money outside of the country quickly or she's going to jail. And he knew she was in Mexico because she posted on her Facebook. So that's how the scammer knew that. So anybody calls you up in an urgency, you got to pay in 25 minutes or less, that's a scam. That's what we call the tip-off to the rip-off. All scams. Anybody calls you in 30 minutes, the IRS is not going to call you and say they're coming to get you to arrest you in 30 minutes.
The IRS doesn't call.
Period.
The IRS does not call your house.
Not at all.
The IRS. You ever try to call the IRS? The IRS doesn't own a phone.
fake coupons and fake shipping notifications.
Yeah, the fake shipping is really getting me problems. Gets closer to Christmas now. You might see something like you think it's from FedEx or UPS, and it's actually not. So again, you're clicking on a link that you don't know. So click if you think you're getting a package or you think you got an email from FedEx. Type in the URL yourself. Go do the research as well. And there's a lot of fake coupons out there. You know, there's one main chain I'm not even going to mention because they're getting hit with all these coupons. 50% off, 70% off, 90% off. It's just somebody being facetious and trying to ruin that company.
Everybody's looking for a deal on a vacation. And sometimes those are hard to pass up. How do you know a good travel deal from a bad one?
Well, it's really the money. Because if you see a deal on the internet and it's really half price or three-fourths off or something like that, you really can't tell. You got to trust the company behind it because these scammers are taking legitimate pictures off of good sites and making it look like their pictures. So it's really hard to tell. You got to know and trust the company behind it and never wire money to somebody without seeing the property or at least finding more information about them before going on a trip.
And wouldn't this be a problem with Airbnb? I would think Airbnb, because you're dealing, you know, private person to private person, would be just a minefield for this.
It happens sometimes, not as much. They do their due diligence. It's those sites sites that you don't know anything about and you never heard of. You know what I mean? That pop up in, you know, Steve's Travel Company, and it looks like great
Pat,
sites.
Write that down, Steve's Travel Company.
Steve Cochran.
Good call.
How do you know spell Cochran?
Pat, you want in? Steve and Pat's Travel Company. Yeah.
It's like a backwards S. On the thing.
Yeah. Right after we go to the Drake for tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
There are keys to look out for before you commit money online. What are we looking for in the web address that will be a tip-off sometimes?
We want to make sure that S is in there. So HTTPS in there means a secure site. But scammers have secured sites, too. So you have to be very careful. You have to check out every website, especially with the Better Business Bureau. We have, you know, information on over 4 million businesses in North America. It's actually just doing the research on a company. You can't tell these days that it's a scam website. In the old days, you'd be spellings and the graphics look terrible. Now they copy and paste, and with the advent of all these programs, they can make it look like a legitimate organization. And they want your money quickly. And that's really the key to everything, is that you don't want you to think about it. They want your money today, just like the charities. A legitimate charity will want your money today. They'll want it next week, next year, the year after. The scammers come to your door or call you on the phone and tell you got to pay. You know, we need your credit card right now. And that's usually what the tip off to the rip off.
And returns and exchanges. I know that's a big,
it's a big problem.
Issue this year.
It is
what
a
big
mean? Problem. But basically, you got to realize the company, you got to return a product is up, it's their policy. So refunds and exchanges is really a privilege, not a right. So whoever bought you that ugly tie, you might be an exchange only type situation. So if you go in a store to return it, thinking you can return everything, they may have an exchange policy only. So they exchange you for something, another ugly tie in that establishment. So
but that's not a ripoff. That's a policy.
It's a policy, but you got to be very careful with that. And then the restocking fees, electronic items. If you open the box, sometimes you'll get charged a restocking fee. And don't rip the box opens on Christmas Day. Keep all contents. Keep the original receipt as well.
I've noticed so much lately, you buy something and then it'll say on the receipt, return value. So if you buy something for $50, it'll say return value $44.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you don't get the full value sometimes if you wait too long to return it.
If you wait too long as well. But it's a policy they tell you ahead of time, so you got to look at the receipts. But most people, when they buy things, they automatically think it's, you know, refunds and exchanges that automatically happens. And especially if it's a low ball or door buster, it might be all sales final. When it's an all sales final, you're not going to get any money back. That's it.
Yeah, and by the way, don't be a jerk to the retail people who are just doing their jobs.
Right, keeping their policies in place.
Yeah,
correct.
Because it's a policy for the store that they probably didn't invent it unless it's Steve's Travel Store featuring Pat Brady and our special tea special that we're running right now.
I'm the cruise director.
With a fake coupon. We'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about gift cards and love.
Love.
You know, you and I, Andre, you and I know Steve a little bit off the air, and he's
we
a
do.
Fun guy.
He's great.
But on the air, doesn't he sound like a complete nudge? You know, he's the kind
he's
of guy who's going,
serious
be careful when you open the box. Hold on to the box. Hold on to all the contents. Don't answer the door. Oh, don't answer the phone.
And off the air, he's opening the box.
I'm just defending you. You're not like that at all. You're just trying to protect
people. I'm trying to protect the consumers. Yeah. I put my cape on every morning and try to help.
Can you picture Steve at his house? Draw the shades down! They're coming to get us! $6.52. I was busy handing out gifts. I have yours.
Sassy.
Pat Brady gave me a blanket.
Sweet.
I think he's taking our relationship to the next level. So, more of Steve Burness in just a second as well. But first, before we get to that, I have important information from my friends at Mattress Firm. Nobody sells for less during Mattress Firm's year-end closeout sale. It's huge year-end savings. For a limited time, get a free box with select mattress purchases. That's right, a free box. Not a box. Box spring. Exactly. Save up to $500 store-wide on the best brands like Sealy, Beauty Restaurants, and Foster, and a bunch more. Experience the all-new custom collection crafted exclusively for Mattress Firm, featuring luxury lines from Tempur-Pedic, Beauty Rest, and Stearns & Foster. Now, I can come clean now. For the last 6 to 8 weeks, I have not been able to sleep on my Mattress Firm mattress.
Wait. Why?
Because it was in the master bedroom, which was being remodeled.
Uh-huh.
The master bath was being remodeled. But back in that bedroom now.
And how you feel?
Way better. Way more awake. Dangerous. So, you know, and there was a bit of time where I was just weeping, telling the mattress I missed it. But you're going to feel the same way when you get your Mattress for a mattress. And they're going to beat the price by 10% or it's free of any competitor. So bring those ads in. Challenge them, even up to 100 days after purchase. Mattress Firm's professional sleep experts dedicated to helping you find the right mattress for you. It's Mattress Firm. Save money and sleep happy. Steve Burness is here from the Better Business Bureau. If people ever have a question about a business, what do they do?
BBB.org is the best website to go to. BBB.org, or call us directly at our office during normal business hours. But everything's on the internet, and it can help you if you call us first, not after. We'd love to help you after, of course, but if you call us first, you may not need to call us after.
Pat, are we doing anything politically to help people from the scam standpoint?
Yeah, that was just going to ask you. What's the enforcement mechanism? I know the Attorney General here does a lot of consumer protection, but what can you actually do?
We actually develop the information for them and put it together and help with their investigations on situations like that. So usually consumers come to us or businesses. They're scammed as well, and we take all this information and we give it to the authorities, not only the FBI, FTC. We are on all those with all those community groups as well to help them to try to eradicate crime. But sometimes it's petty theft, as you know.
Right.
They don't go after it. You know what I mean? They just don't have the time or resources to go after those small thefts. But if they do it to 10,000 people, I mean, if it's a $10 and 10,000 people, it adds up, unfortunately. So we want to educate. We're really the Better Business Bureau is about educating consumers ahead of time. So if you do get a call from IRS, or you do get a call that somebody knocked at your door from a heating company, you check with us first. We let you know the story of them, whether A plus or F. I mean, there's so many organizations that do have F in Chicago, and they have a business. It doesn't make them a good business because they're in business. And think about the charity in 2015. That cancer charity took $187 million from the cancer victims, and they spent it on vacations, luxury homes.
Yeah, well, they're going to hell.
Yeah,
exactly. At some point, you have to kick it upstairs to management. And you start stealing money from people that are dying of cancer, it's over. Good night.
Right, exactly. It's terrible what they did, unfortunately. But so there's legitimate charities out there, but there's always bad actors in every industry.
Well, the vast majority of charities are legitimate.
Exactly.
The ones that aren't make it tough for everybody, because then people get skittish about giving money.
They paint them the same brush, the proverbial same brush. Unfortunately, that happens all the time.
Yeah, and as people are finishing up their holiday shopping, I know two of the hottest items, Christmas gifts this year, holiday gifts, are Cubs merchandise and Hamilton tickets. And we were talking, Steve, we had a friend
that got scammed.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Bought fake tickets.
Yeah. Everything. Now the ushers have the automatic in their pockets tell you you've been scammed. It's already pre-printed because there's so many people being scammed that they have it in their pockets already what to do.
The scam's the pre-printed ticket, right?
Because
I got it at the Northwestern football game a couple years ago.
Oh, you got hit?
Well, I'm an idiot, but yeah.
Where'd you buy the ticket?
From some guy walking in. And I go, hey, I'm going to go to the gate with you. Make sure this ticket's legit. And we got about 10 yards from the gate, and he took off. And being the age I am, I couldn't catch him. And
licensed ticket broker is the only way to do it. It truly is. Craigslist, we hear all the horror stories, especially the Hamilton tickets. The first day, there was one that she
Craigslist is a hot mess. Craigslist has got to be – you probably get more complaints about one particular site than any other when it comes to Craigslist.
Yeah, but try to find individuals. That's the key. Is that
because they can hide.
It's hard. You can't find those people as well. It's different if you buy a couch.
Who is this damn Craig? Yeah,
let's find Craig. Nobody's ever seen Craig yet. We're all looking for him. But also gift cards is a big thing for this holiday season. You know, people are buying $28 billion worth of gift cards. So be very careful. Check the store you're buying from. Buying from directly from the retailer is best. Don't go to those online auction sites and buy it, because we hear the horror stories at the BBB every single day.
Why does it work if you buy, buy it from Walgreens or Meijer or Target or somewhere, and it's where they have those or Jewel?
Sure.
And there's big racks of gift cards.
Those are safe. Those are truly
safe. It's just like buying it from the store?
Exactly. Truly buying the store. Just make sure on the back that the thing's not scratched off. The numbers aren't back. Usually that thing on the back has the secret numbers on there. If that's scratched, then you're out of luck.
That's what I heard. Somebody goes in, and I hadn't thought about this, and by the way, don't try this. Somebody goes in with a fingernail or a coin, scratch the number off, take a picture of the number with the phone, and then go to work.
Right. And go to work. And they wait
so you
for somebody to
card.
Buy it. They wait for somebody to buy it, and then they check online, because you can quickly check online, and they start spending all the money as well. So you'd be very careful. You know, those retailers are great. Just make sure the back of the card is fully intact and the numbers are hidden like they're supposed to be.
The ATM skimmers are tough to stop because you don't know they're there. That's really up to the banks to keep an eye on that.
Banks and gas stations. People don't even think about it. It happens in the gas station all the time. Chicago police issue releases every week on skimmers. It's hard to tell now.
Is it what exactly is that?
Skimmer is actually where you put a card mechanism on like a gas pump or an ATM, and it reads your information. Then you put it into the machine, so it actually it's another reader for your card.
Oh, yeah.
that the scammer's in a remote control in a car somewhere, you know, getting this information. And
It is unbelievable. People get up in the morning just to steal money.
Yeah, but jiggle the gas pump where you put your credit card, make sure, because those are still, they're not permanent. So they're still glued on or tacked on quickly so they can get out of there as fast as possible. So
you look like a mental patient when you're out there jiggling the gas pump. Ask.bbb.org. Ask.bbb.org. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter and add them on Instagram. And Steve, thanks for the great work and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much.
Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
This is Chuck. Chuck Berry.
Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
Chuck's got to be 90. I bet he's close.
Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town. Santa, make him hurry. Tell him he can take the freeway down. Run, run, Rudolph, because I'm reeling like a merry-go-round.
Nice. Chuck Berry, 90 years old.
Santa to a boy child, what have you been longing for?
Chuck can still rock. Still rock. Can you do the Chuck thing? What's that move called, Andy?
It's the Pee Wee Herman, right?
Yeah, the tequila.
No. The dance across stage. A little scissor kick
like
thing
scoot,
he does.
Like he like scoots across. Like,
it's like a duck walk, yeah.
Like the Marty McFly.
It's like the Marty McFly.
Okay, so maybe Marty got it from him.
Sure, Chuck
funny,
would appreciate
all of us
that.
Trying to do it.
You got kids sitting on your couch for the holidays? Joyce Hodell standing by from care.com. You know, college isn't cheap, and students and graduates and families looking to earn a little extra money over the holidays. Joyce can talk a little bit about that. She joins us now. Again, the website's care.com. Good morning, Joyce. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
We're doing just fine. So if the kids are just laying around on the couch, how do we get them to get a job over the holidays, especially those on trimesters and aren't going back till maybe the end of January?
That's right. Winter break means time off for college students, and one thing they can do over the break is earn a little extra money on care.com. We just released a new report that ranks the cities where college students have the best chance of getting hired over the winter break.
How do we do?
Well, Chicago ranks number 22 out of all of our cities. And
how many did you rank, 23?
27.
22 out of 27. Did you see Joyce trying to bury that bad news?
It's not great news, but you know what that does mean? It means there's a lot of competition for jobs over the winter break in the Chicago area. So that's good news for those looking to hire if you need a babysitter or a home organizer this year.
Hey, Joyce, I know Chicago is big time for dog walking and pet sitting. I have a couple of cousins who are actually doing that and making some pretty good coin while they're home for the holidays.
Yeah, that's right. Chicago is actually the fifth easiest city to find a dog walking job over the break. So for those students who are looking for extra work, dog walking is a great way to earn some extra cash. Dog walking jobs pay $16 an hour on average in the Chicago area. So working part-time over the next month or so, Chicago students could earn $1,200 or more.
For walking a dog.
Isn't that great?
But you got to pick up, you know what I mean?
Literally.
Yeah, you got to the reverse baggy thing, which yes. Again, I love dogs. I won't do it.
It can be a little bit of a dirty job, but might be worth it for some of those students. Plus, you know, dogs are really, really sweet. So it's a fun way to
I love dogs. Just no, dogs. I love dogs. I love dogs. I just grew up in a time where it was equal opportunity pooping. And, you know, if my dog went in your dog probably went in my yard at some point and life went on. You know, see people that's walking right. up and down the. I understand it in the city.
Right. There's a law.
But if you're in the burbs. And your dog is why am I even talking about this? All right, Joyce, so what else are we doing?
Well, there's some other great ways to earn some money over the holidays, and one of those is tutoring. So for those students who are particularly good academically, you can earn $18 an hour as a tutor. So that's a great way to help other students get on track over the winter break.
And you have the leads at care.com, so kids going, well, okay, how do I get the job? They can go to you guys?
That's right. So they can go to care.com and set up a profile and start searching for jobs right away. And it's actually really nice because it's pretty flexible. You can set your own schedule and look for jobs that fit in the time that you have. So you don't have to spend your whole break working. You can pick the days that you're available.
I have, you know, there's a lot of seasonal jobs out there, too. We have friends who, you know, hire kids to help Students put up the lights.
The kids.
Take down the lights, you know, do the shoveling of the snow. Those are always great seasonal jobs.
That's right. So they can find jobs like that, general kind of errand jobs on care.com as well. And we found in Chicago those pay about $15 an hour, which is a great way to earn some extra cash.
Shoveling snow.
Yeah, shoveling snow or taking down holiday decorations.
Of course, you're in Chicago. Apparently none of you kids are employable. Andy, did you ever have a job over the holidays when you were going to school?
More in the summer, but not usually over the holidays.
So you just sat around for the month that you were home?
Yeah.
I
watched other people work.
There's no job they can take that you have to get up by noon, right, if you're in college?
Yeah.
Get up at noon or 1?
Talk show host.
Yeah.
Talk show host. I mean, if you can get a month-long talk show host job, you're good. Yeah. Sandberg.
That you can do late at night, actually, is babysitting. So let someone else go out for a night.
That's what I did all the time. Yep.
Sandberg, what about you?
We pay a lot of money to our babysitters, so I like that. But my sister and I worked at Abercrombie over a holiday, and she crashed the Volvo into the parking blocks and bent all the wheels on the car. Going to the job
kinda,
at Abercrombie.
Kind of negates the extra money you're bringing in.
So my dad paid like $1,200 for her to have a job at Abercrombie because she did so much damage to the car because she was late for her shift. So,
by the way, I want to apologize because another thing Pat, Brady, and I like to do together, we go into Abercrombie and ask if they have big and tall that we could try on.
No, they only have
You're not supposed to say people. That's not nice. That's just you and me, I thought. A lot of secrets
revealed.
I like
to go in where the music's thumping. Yeah. You know, and the kids are looking up and they're going, hey, you're buying something for your daughter? I was actually looking for me.
And you have to wear, when you work there, flip-flops. Even in the snow, you'd be trudging through the snow with your flip-flops because that's the look.
Right.
Can I help you?
I can't find anything in a big and tall.
You're out of plaids.
You have nothing in double X? All right, Joyce, I don't want you to ruin your reputation by being on the show. I think the advice that you're giving us is very important here, and we want people to go to care.com, right?
That's right. Care.com is the place to find short-term jobs over the break. So anyone that's looking for a quick way to earn some extra cash and help pay off their college loans, they can go to care.com and start looking for jobs right away.
Yeah, and I'm sorry you guys think all Chicago college students are shiftless and lazy. I just don't agree with you, Joyce. I don't know what to tell you.
Hey, we never said that. I know, everybody earned a few extra dollars.
All right, great. Have a happy holiday season.
Thank you, too.
All right.
Joyce is still thinking of you and Pat Brady wrapped up in your Blackhawks blanket there.
It's just so good to see the look on a kid's face at Abercrombie and Fitch when a 55-year-old man walks in and goes, nothing for me? Really?
Right.
Nothing? Is that the store where the music's banging real loud?
It's cute how you act like you don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
I honestly haven't been in an Abercrombie in a long time, unlike you guys.
Are they still hip?
You're hipsters.
Is that where everybody's pants are pulled way down? Big. Is that Abercrombie?
Do they still
That's
dump all the
stores.
Clothes?
That's all the stores.
Stores.
They dump all the clothes in one bin all the time.
They're kind of dark.
It's definitely dark.
Yeah, it's dark in there. Yeah, definitely.
When we were kids, those were head shops.
And the other thing, and the other thing is when you go into Abercrombie, that the boys and girls are in full hormonal rage. So they barely notice when customers walk in, so they just talk to each other. I think the shirt's over there.
That's
hey, what are you doing? You're out of here.
This segment not sponsored by Abercrombie, I think.
Right.
They're welcome.
That's so many stores now, though. The kids are just talking to each other. What are you doing tonight? You going out?
I got to say, I'm seeing that at Jewel now.
Oh, yeah.
Jewel Osco, which does such a great job getting people in and out of there. But Jewel Osco, you guys in general, let's make sure the kids are checking folks out, get them out of the store.
That was my summer job. I worked at Jewel in high school and part of college.
You're just flirting with everybody when you're checking people out?
No, back then, no.
Were those union jobs? They were very high paying. Kroger and...
Oh, yeah, I made, when minimum wage was $3.35 an hour, I was making $4.15.
This is in the 80s. Did you have scanners then?
We did have scanners. I was one of the fastest scanners.
Pat and I come from a decade called the 70s where you had to actually punch in numbers on the cash register.
Oh, yeah.
Like you'd see a price.
I did, yes.
And actually had to hit the price.
And we had to do that, too, with the produce. You know, we had to take produce tests. So, like, celery was 221, and you had the different codes for the...
Orion would appreciate this, but I detasseled corn and walked beans, too.
Okay,
what you do on your own time is none of our business. 7:20, let's get a traffic update here as we continue. And we'll play the little kid singing Hallelujah. coming up, too.
Is that you, Santa Claus? Gifts I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus?
7:24 now. Shoot, special guest in the studio here in just a minute. Before we do that, Pat Brady, lean in and let's talk about two things quickly here. North Carolina's lost its mind.
Yep.
Whether or not they do anything about the LGBTQ bathroom bill is a constitutional issue and probably be decided by the courts, but they continue to bleed hundreds of thousands of dollars locally in municipalities and millions of dollars statewide, and they're not smart enough to get out of their own way and fix it, even though the city of Charlotte rescinded their version of it this week. The state hasn't done it yet. But last week, or I guess it was last week, it was while I was out, the Democrat governor was elected in a close race. The Republican governor then signed off on bills limiting the incoming Democrat governor's powers completely in an absolute 12-year-old play that shows every bad thing. This, again, this goes to what you've talked about for a long time. If the Republican Party wants to kill itself, this is a great way to do it.
Well, yeah, on that issue especially. So you lose everybody under 45.
So you lose the election and you go about changing the powers of the incoming Democrat because you lost.
And bring it back to Illinois. Madigan does this kind of stuff all the time. And that's why he has so much power, because he changes all the rules that people don't pay attention to, all the process rules. But this is, he basically took the majority of the, not majority, but a great percentage of the governor's powers away. They powdered a point, things like that.
And it's outrageous. And again, it's going to drive business away from North Carolina. And I would think it would drive residents away from North Carolina.
Well, that's why a guy like Donald Trump wins, too. You get a lot of outraged people. They're just so fed up with it. A guy that says what he's going to do, it's going to be different. He's an outsider. And that's why people vote for guys like Donald
Trump.
Well,
and it's up to him now to not become that guy. And we'll see. Before we get to him, though, let's talk about Springfield and my favorite topic, Mike Madigan, who, by the way,
is he coming in today?
He's invited today. We've still got nothing but crickets. Madigan still. And again, if I'm Mike Madigan and you heard me say the things I've said about you over the past couple of years and you haven't taken me up on the invitation to come in and tell me I'm wrong, well, then I must be right. That's the only common sense connection you can make to those charges.
Sure. There's a real, the election we won, the Republicans won 4 seats in a really difficult year to win. But what's going on now, and maybe people don't fully understand, the Speaker is elected every year in January, the Speaker of the Illinois House. And it's an election that all the members of the House participate in. There are 51 Republicans now in the House.
And normally it's just ceremonial, right?
It's usually acclamation. We all agree we're going to vote for whomever. So Scott Drury, a state representative from the northern suburbs, a former federal prosecutor, said he's thinking about running. So you think about it. He only needs to get 8 votes plus himself in the 51 Republicans to knock Speaker Madigan out. The politics of this are, with Governor Rauner and what he's done with the state party, there are seats now the Democrats that are in play. And what happens is during the course of the campaign, they say that they're not going to support Speaker Madigan because he has about a 15% approval rating. Well, now there's a choice. If they say they vote, they usually say, I'm not going to vote for him, but they end up voting for him because he's the only one that's running. Well, now they're going to have a choice. So this sets up for a real interesting political dynamic in 2018 when the governor's running again. But I think there's a legitimate chance, if Drury can get 8 people to support him, that he could become the next speaker.
Say the name again. Who are we talking about?
Scott Drury. And
who's invited on the show as well. Let's have a race to see who gets to the studio first, Drury or Madigan.
Now, Drury, here's the test for Drury. He holds himself out as a quote-unquote former federal prosecutor, an independent thinker, a guy that doesn't take orders from Madigan. He's got a chance here to make a big difference. And if he really is truly independent, then he should do it and try to get 8 people to go with him who also said they'll be independent. If not, then he's just full of baloney like the rest of them.
Yeah, so let's see how full of baloney he is. Come in and answer the questions.
Yep, answer the question. Run. Why not?
Run, but I'm also saying come in here and develop a public profile that people know who you are.
Well, that's what's so irritating, too.
You can't hide.
You can't hide. Get in
Madigan's
here and do
hidden
it.
For years. Yeah. Don't be a hidden speaker. If you're going to be Speaker of the House, come in and say who you are.
The minute that he gets out, there will be a budget deal. He is the total holdup to a budget deal in the state. And even if you're particularly if you're a liberal Democrat, the social service agencies are getting killed because he won't agree to a budget deal because it helps his political power base. That's, to me, is the real argument. And if Scott Drury comes in, we're going to get a budget deal, we'll get a couple of reforms, and we'll get the state going in the right direction. But as long as he's Speaker of the House, nothing's going to get done.
Dexter writes, when Madigan's time comes and he's standing at the gates of hell, the state of Illinois is going to party like Miami did when Castro died. There's some anger out there.
There's a lot of anger. His approval rating is so bad. Rod Blagojevich was 13% right after he got indicted, and Madigan's a couple points above that right now.
And for everybody that wants to leap to, oh, Steve, all you do is defend Rauner, and oh, Steve, why can't Rauner propose a budget? Here's the job. The governor can propose a budget. So can the legislature. When the governor proposed a budget that was $3 billion out of whack, he was willing to take those cuts, and it was stalled. It was stalled by who? It was stalled by Madigan and the Democrats, who then proposed a budget themselves on no notice. It was $7 billion out of whack and then rescinded the budget. Fast forward to these meetings that were held, alleged meetings, where Madigan said the governor wants to talk about term limits. I just want to talk about the budget. At the next meeting, this has been verified by everybody in the meeting. At the next meeting, when Rauner said, I want to talk about the budget, Madigan and his folks said, we're not ready. Yeah. So who's stalling here?
Well, another thing, and it's not Democrats completely. Senate President Cullerton, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, the governor said over and over again, those people want to, folks want to have a deal. The only Democrat that's holding this up is Madigan.
Right.
And there are people in the rank and file that want a deal. It's one person right now that's holding this up.
Yep. And again, even if he is not your state rep, he is your rep because he is Speaker of the House. He represents everybody in Illinois.
Well, here's the thing, too. For your state rep, if it's a Democrat or Republican, particularly Democrat, say you do not have to vote for Speaker Mike Madigan. Right. You can vote for Scott Drury or someone else. But you do this.
If you vote here, I'll take it a step further. If you vote for Speaker for Madigan to be Speaker again, I will not send you back to the state capitol. I won't do it. I'm not going to vote for you. I want to know who you vote for, and I can find out. We'll tell you who they vote for. Anybody that votes for Madigan, we'll give you the list.
Yeah, and there are people there that support some of the governor's, Democrats that support some of the governor's reform agenda, like term limits, that have been on the record saying that, and that's it's put up or shut up. And right now we're at a crisis, and guys like people like Scott Drury are the people that are going to vote. You're going to have a choice now. And it's a different ballgame, and we need to do something differently because it ain't working.
So, again, Scott Drury, we not only are requesting, we expect you to come on the show and answer some fair questions about who you are and what you stand for. It's 7:31. We'll come back. We have a special guest in the studio. We're going to talk a little bit about the media coming up, how it's covered, yep. The campaigns to come, the year to come, and how we've done and how we haven't done.
Yeah, the criticism, and some of the unnecessary criticism.
Well, you know, I don't take criticism well.
You have your blankie.
Yeah, I got my blankie. I'm just going to curl.
Are you
going to
open that?
What is with you? Is there something in the blanket?
Oh, here's. Can I give you my thought process on the gift because you've been making
fun? Well, you can in a second, okay. But still, I got to take a break first. It's 7:32. I'm afraid there's something in the blanket now. You going to open it? 7:32, back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Then the people back there, the extremely dishonest press, said, right? Very dishonest people. How about when a major anchor who hosted a debate started crying when she realized that we won? How about tears? No, tell me this isn't true. And you know what she doesn't understand? Things are going to be much better now. She doesn't understand.
President-elect Trump passing along another lie, that one about ABC. Why am I forgetting her name? She hosts this.
Martha Raddatz?
Martha Raddatz.
Is that the one? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right. Who did not cry. She sounded like her voice cracked when she was talking about the enlisted son of the vice presidential candidate. So anyway, it's just another falsehood. Anyway, the media has some things to answer for as well, but Donald Trump certainly doesn't help when he paints all the media as some dishonest entity, when the media's job is to keep an eye on those in power. And without that, you've got problems like you have around the rest of the world. So please don't just read the stuff you agree with and don't fall into the category of Trump's right. Oh, the media, they're all out for one thing. It's just to destroy the good people, the people that believe like I do. It's nonsense. Pat Brady's here, and Pat, we have a special guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce her? All right, I'll handle it.
I've never seen him speechless.
Listen, Russ Chrisman is here from Serafin & Associates, nine-time Emmy winner, veteran of television and radio and PR and various other things. Where do you fall on this? I mean, how much media culpability is out there?
There's a lot, but I want to go back to about an hour ago when you were handing out $20 bills. To
you know what? I'm out.
Well,
I'm...
I brought some leftover Euro of my last trip from Italy, so I wanted to give you some gifts here.
Oh, look at you.
So it's a kind of unique gift, you know?
Nice. You know, with the exchange rate, that's worth $4.
It might be, but you can get some more Fannie Mae, so there you go.
Thank you. How much culpability in the media in this?
The media plays a huge role in this, but you also have to understand that Twitter and social media is now more important than the media. But journalists with a capital J on their shoulder, which there are some of them still left, and one of them sitting in the room right here, two of them, three of them, four of them, they're important too. And they do need to continue to be the check and balance of what's going on in America in any election or any issue. But think about it. Donald Trump has 17 million Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
Fox News has 12.
Right.
When, before Donald Trump announced for his election, he had 3 million Twitter followers. The amount of... He has a stranglehold on pushing out media.
But here's the thing. I agree with you. And it's for everybody freaking out every time he sends out a tweet, I think you better get used to the fact that a 70-year-old man is on the cutting edge of how to communicate with the vast majority of his followers. Having said that, he also has a job to be responsible as president of the United States, to not throw out any nutty thing that pops into his head when it does.
I totally agree. And but who's going to hold him to it?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's got to be the media. And it's got to be the true journalists. It has to be the Edward R. Murrows of the world and the Walter Cronkites of the world and Chuck Todds of the world. It can't be these fly-by-night, oh, I'm an anchor, so now I'm a journalist. Well, excuse me, when did you go to journalism school?
And everybody that throws on somebody to argue a point on CNN or MSNBC or Fox because they got to fill up 24 hours and they'll pull people off the street to argue a point if need be. I mean, Pat, you've been doing this for a long time. Where are you on this?
I find that it's the national. It's not the local. Like a guy like Pearson, who I've had issues with just arguing and we're good friends, but he always writes a fair story, in my opinion, because he's a real reporter. And there are others, but there are fewer and fewer of them. I think it's more the national than it is the local. And I've done some national, and the feel is different. They almost expect you to speak to their agenda. I was doing MSNBC once, and I told them, I go, I'm not going to be a useful idiot for MSNBC. I'm going to tell you what I think. And I don't think that's what they necessarily want. They want you to fit the agenda that probably fits the advertising.
Well, I turned down Bill O'Reilly several times for the same reason, because producers wanted me to argue a particular viewpoint that I may or may not have had. It's like, look, you either have me on to talk or you don't.
Let's look at the past round of debates. And if we could tally every host who actually followed up with their question to make sure the candidate actually answered the question.
Yeah. Didn't happen.
I would count maybe less on one hand.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper was good at it. So Anderson Cooper was good at it. Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Lisa, don't you think, too, that Trump has fueled, though, a lot of the public anger with the press? I mean, because the blaming, the culpability, you know, just because somebody, you know, when I tell a story, or I was going to say you, Steve, but not so much. But when I'll tell a story, we'll give both sides of the issue. You know, we'll give both sides of the story.
No, I think, defend myself for a second. I think I do give both sides.
No, you totally
I do it in a loud, direct way, but I do give both sides.
No, you do. But then people, I think, hear what they want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if we do a story, Trump names Kellyanne Conway to be his legal counsel, or whatever he just named her as.
Special counsel.
People will hear that and think, okay, you know what? She just said that in a way that made it sound less than it is, or demeaned the position. You know, I think people's perception have changed with the press too.
Well, not only that, but you also have to go back 35 years is when Donald Trump first made his name in the tabloids in New York about all of his real estate conquers. And he started manipulating this, and he figured out a long time ago, 14 seasons on The Apprentice is no mistake. You know, his Twitter account is no mistake. He found a way to manipulate this and have a really large megaphone that drowned everyone else out. And it's true. If you look at the entire, if you go back to the first Republican debate, how many people were on stage? And he was the only one with recognition. Thank you very much. It's early.
Yeah, the thing about Trump is he figured out what it took the Real Housewives to figure out much later on in the game, and that is be loud. Don't worry about the instant reaction. react when people strike at you by striking back. All of those things that make you interesting to people. That's cute when you're a celebrity. It's scary as hell when you're the president of the United States.
I think the national media, going back to Pat's point, the national media is different, and they got caught off guard early on in this campaign. And he had this loud, loud, loud voice and loud, loud, loud things to say. And they were
just great hair. The hair was...
And it never moved. Almost as good as Tom Serafin's hair.
Yeah.
But you know, the national media got caught off guard. Sorry, Tom.
If you know Tom, that's very funny. Yeah.
But the national media, quite frankly, got caught off guard and didn't have this way of checking him, in fact checking him, which Hillary Clinton was saying towards the end so much about checking his facts. They didn't do that early on. And I think if there was an earlier push, an earlier pushback, I think we might have been talking about something a little different.
Well, consider this, though, too. Donald Trump, the only newspaper endorsement he got was the newspaper endorsement of the Ku Klux Klan. And so I think that says a lot about politically. And this started with Newt Gingrich 4 years ago. When you attack the media, it's good politically.
Yeah, and the problem with that is when you rile up 17 million people to believe one thing, and that is that everything you read is skewed against your guy, you develop this mob mentality that does everybody a disservice. Well, because people aren't going to fact check. They'll just go, well, it's all lies. The New York Times, again, I come back to the same example because it's stark and it's true. There's no question there is a liberal bias to a large amount of the reporting of the New York Times, less so in the Washington Post. It's out there. It's true. Having said that, the New York Times exposed Hillary Clinton's email. You wouldn't know about it if it wasn't for the New York Times, or it would have taken much longer to get there. So if we can all agree that Fox leans right and that MSNBC leans left and the people at CNN do both, then maybe you shouldn't spend so much time watching those three.
Well, now,
spread yourself around. Look at other things. Find things you disagree with and read more than the headline and see if there's something to be said for it.
You know, there's no longer appointment viewing for news.
Right.
The news finds you. And in social media, the good thing about the internet is anyone can become an expert. The bad thing about the internet is anyone can become an expert. And that's when viewership or listenership or readership becomes skewed, because people gravitate to what they like, what makes them feel comfortable. Very few people like controversy. And what your challenge to people is to spread out and breed more and be more observant is a great challenge. But that's not always going to happen, because people just gravitate to what they like more. People gravitate to you, Steve, because they like you on the radio and they like what you have to say. That's why they don't listen to the 7 or 8.
Eric and Kathy? Oh, no, they're doing fine. So here's a perfect example, though, and I love our listeners, even when they're doing this. Text her, give up the whining, she lost. This is the immediate reflexive go-to position for anything you question about the way this election played out. This isn't about Hillary. Again, Hillary's wandering around in the woods looking for people to take selfies with. This is not about Hillary. This is about what happens going forward. That's why every time I hear somebody go, yeah, but we live in such a yeah, but generation. Yeah, but this is what they did before. Yeah, but Obama did this. And Obama forever. Yeah, but Bush left me this. How about we start with today? What's going to happen today going forward? That's Donald Trump's challenge, and he better be up to it.
It's never going to be like it was when we just had ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Right.
There's too much to choose from now. There's too much programming to fill. You've got the same one on a dead news day. That you're going to hear that same sound bite for 20 hours, 24 hours, 30 hours sometimes, because that's what the challenge is of all this medium to fill. And the viewership is small. Fox News is the highest rated news program station. They only have 2.3 million viewers. Twitter account, 17 million for Trump.
Well, I mean, it goes to late night TV. James Corden, the little British fire hydrant dude that does late nights on CBS now, has about 600,000 people, 700,000 people that watch his show. Mm-hmm. He's got 12 to 15 million people that see his clips on YouTube and on the internet. So the balance has shifted, and all of us old folks need to accept that. So Trump's Twitter is not irrelevant. It's maybe the most relevant thing about what he's doing. Having said that, words matter. So when we come back, I want to talk to you about that for a second, because in the rest of the world, China, for example, and the Asian culture about saving face, you can't just throw out any crazy thing that's out there. And secondarily, how about you grow up and stop acting like a 12-year-old? You're going to get your feelings hurt as president of the United States. You know what you ought to have? You ought to have a vice president of my feelings got hurt who can take away his phone for 45 minutes until he gets over it. .755, Pat Brady's here. Andy Mazur in for Mr. Ennett, who is back tomorrow. We have some Christmas presents to exchange coming up.
Hey, can I just make an observation.
You want me to take the blanket out again?
No, no,
dude,
no.
What's with the blanket?
I'm sitting next, to Dave normally, right?
And yep.
It's Dave Bennett at mm-hmm. WGN. But Andy writes his name down at the end of the script. I didn't know if you forget your name or...
I just have to remember who I am.
So you literally write, I'm Andy Mazur?
I have to, yeah.
No. Do
really?
You?
No. Just kidding.
Wait, I'm going to go look. Hold on.
Go look at the other one. I'm Andy Mazur.
Right there. Check it out. There's no mention of my name. Okay. See, this is another... This is propaganda. This is how
fake
things
news. This is how the media news. Exploits people.
Unbelievable.
Choice of words. Weren't we going to talk about that?
All right, so if we all agree that Donald Trump is not getting off Twitter, and frankly, I don't think he should.
I don't think he should either.
If he stays on Twitter, how do we help him not hurt himself and therefore hurt us?
So you want him to listen to advisors?
You're right. What am I thinking?
Steve, you're silly.
That's insane. But it's a legitimate concern because you start shooting stuff around about China, about Russia and other places where your words are going to be taken very literally. Because the guy goes through the entire campaign. He says whatever he says. He gets elected. He goes, oh, I didn't know you took that seriously.
Well, here's how
people take it seriously because it comes from the president of the United States. Well, he's got to understand that.
But here's the difference. I mean, you can explain this. Listen. A typical press release or a statement or a press conference is hour of prep, people looking at every word, and then you issue it versus a Twitter that goes out at 3 in the morning. So how do you monitor that? How do you control that?
Well, you can't control his thumbs, and no one will be able to do that. But you, before break, you started talking about the words that people use and the exact words. I don't know if you remember this, but some of us who actually studied journalism in college, one of the first things we were taught were about the 7 dirty words that you don't use on radio or on TV.
Wait, let me write those down. Don't use those.
Well, those words have gone away because you hear 7 out of or 6 out of 7 of them now. So our whole world has changed again about what you can and cannot use in on broadcast or in television or whatever.
Right.
So my point is the words that Trump is using, I don't want to defend him, but I understand it because they're different now than what it was 20, 30 years ago.
But if I'm Donald Trump and I'm offended by something that, again, I keep coming back to China, I'm offended by somebody that said something or maybe didn't say something in China, and it gets back to me and I immediately respond because I'm Donald Trump and I hit back, yawn. And Donald Trump's next tweet is, well, let's see how funny they think it is when I fly nuclear-armed planes over them. That type of thing. You know, the Reagan comment from the 80s, bombing starts in 5 minutes, which was a joke.
It was off mic, too.
It was off mic, but it was a joke. But that's the type of thing that can end up on Twitter. Somebody's got to be able. I'm not kidding when I say this. Take his phone away from the time he leaves the Oval Office until the time he comes back. Or Kellyanne Conway's got to start sleeping with him because it seemed like she had control over him. And I mean sleeping. Control over him over the last month of the campaign.
Well, you also have to remember, do you know who we have to thank for having a cellular phone on the president of the United States? Obama. Obama was the first president to get special clearance to actually carry a cell phone.
Yeah, he wanted his BlackBerry, and they wouldn't let him have it, correct. And they gave him a secure line. Yeah.
Correct. So now you're set president,
I think it's a legitimate security concern.
Well, right now you've set a precedent, so now you're not going to get Trump's phone away. How are you going to stop him from tweeting? Mm-hmm. You're not. But if as he rises to the level of being a president of the United States, he has to act like one. And there are signs.
That may not happen.
But that doesn't come naturally to him. That
doesn't come naturally.
It doesn't come naturally.
But to that, too, I think the public has a responsibility, no matter who you voted for, to hold every elected official, hold their feet to the fire, make sure they follow through on the promises, because first and foremost, we are all American citizens. We're all Americans. Whoever you voted for, make sure that they have the best interests of you and the country in mind.
And you do that by voting.
Right.
And if you don't vote, you don't have any say, but you also have to hold your legislators accountable, too. Right.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:14. All right, so do I really have to open up the blanket? Pat Brady's here.
Yeah, can I give you the thought process behind the purchase?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I go to the Sporting Goods store, and you and I play a lot of golf together, and you've been very kind to me, taking me to your golf course. So I was going to get you one of those GPS.
Would that be the beautiful White Eagle golf club?
Yeah, I looked at this really nice GPS distance thing you put on your wrist.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and I go, well, you know what? he's pretty particular because he's a good golfer. I think I'll buy that for myself, but he'd sure like a Blackhawks blanket.
And you're saying that.
So I got a new GPS watch, and you got a Blackhawks blanket.
I'm literally feeling around inside for the surprise you put in here, like it's a box of Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to take it out of here, because I take it out, I got to put it back in. It's in a convenient
carrying case. It's kind of cold here anyway.
It's chilly.
You just wanted to get a picture of me with it on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Or maybe the two of
speaking
you
of Twitter,
wrapped up together, like pigs in a blanket. We'll take a picture of you two in it.
Mary Vandeveld, if you would come down, the Christmas gifts that I buy the staff are private, stuff that I get you guys. However, I purchased one gift this year. It's sort of a bonus gift, and it's for you and Vandeveld and for Sandberg.
Oh, the Ooh, women.
A girl's bonus gift.
Because I need to figure out who you people really are.
Oh, we're open book.
Should we be scared?
No, and I'm just telling you, as a, I bought the same thing for me. It'll be self-explanatory here.
What
in
is
a
it, DNA.com? Or?
Don't get ahead of me.
Is it a golf GPS tracking system?
It's Pat's wristwatch. That's exactly what it is.
I named it Steve.
Nice. So, Mary, after you do traffic, come down. But I want you to hear something. There's a little girl who's 10 years old from a school in Ireland who was described as painfully shy. Special needs, high functioning, but special needs, and diagnosed with autism as well. So had a lot of challenges. And she started to sing a bit in school and started to really come out of her shell. But nobody knew she had this in her. This is the Christmas concert. If you liked Leonard Cohen's Alleluia, you really need to see this. And the video is all over online. I also tweeted it out yesterday, last night, or this morning. I don't remember what, at Cochran Show. We'll put it on Facebook as well, at Steve Cochran Show. But this little 10-year-old girl singing Leonard Cohen's Alleluia. We'll just play a little bit of this here. And the whole thing is online, as I said, on Twitter. And we'll put it up on Facebook as well. 10. She's 10. Listen. So again, a 10-year-old singing this song was not an easy song to sing. Little girl's name is Kaylee, and she attends Killard House Special School in Northern Ireland. And again, it's all over the internet. Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen song. And I don't know. You know, there's some things that you come across at times that pop up, and they become viral videos, and you go, yeah, okay, whatever. But this one is, I mean, it's really moving. And anytime you see a little kid that's got special challenges that gets over a hump in any way, I think it's a reason to celebrate. And all the kids at that school are talented. And certainly this is Kaylee's moment to show off her talents. But she didn't go, pick me, pick me, pick me. She just sang. I don't, you know, if you don't believe in God, this might make you. It's 8:19. So, Mary, after you go ahead and do the traffic, come down and we'll talk about the gift that you, Mary, Sandberg, and Andrea, and I will all experience together.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know if I'm worried about this.
It's a hot tub. Mary's traffic as well.
Oh, great. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel
972. Oh, 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 oh. 8:23, limited time with Dean today because he's outside. What are you guys doing now? Is it a big toy drive?
Got a lot of nerve abbreviating our segment just because I wanted to help some kids.
I know. Now listen, you're the selfish one, helping kids.
We have our annual morning show toy drive that's going on outside of the TV station that's at 2501 West Bradley Place. You should come and visit us sometime, by the way.
I should. How late does it go?
The toy drive?
Yeah.
Well, our show's over at 10 o'clock, same as yours.
Oh, boy, it's going to be tough for me to get there by 10.
You could leave a little early. If you really cared about children, you would leave a little early.
CLTV is on at 9. Could I somehow give a toy to CLTV and have them run it over?
Yeah, that sounds like a really flimsy excuse, but...
this is probably a bad
time.
Okay,
yeah, that's okay. If it's, you know, if there's one kid that doesn't get a toy this year, don't feel bad.
Well, one.
you could maybe give him a Blackhawks blanket.
Oh.
Where would I get that?
A child wouldn't like that.
Re-gifting. Yeah, it would be very
re-gifting.
Great.
It's National Regifting Day or something today, just so you know.
Isn't that after Christmas?
You would think, wouldn't it?
No, it'd be before.
Why would they do it before?
Because you get the give the gift from last buy something. Year. You said you didn't have something for people. You're like, oh, I just got this.
Oh, okay.
Or you say the stuff from last year.
You know, all right, couple of show business.
Says Merry Christmas more than a gift you don't pay for.
Yeah, well, that's why everybody this year gets anything off the prize list. All you need is a fake name.
Oh, it's a Lou Malnati's card. Thanks, Steve.
All right, so we know what killed Alan Thicke now, and I don't know. Is there any sort of solace in knowing he couldn't have been saved, that nobody could have done anything?
You know, according to what they're saying, and interestingly, they have made this determination without an autopsy.
Well, that is interesting.
This was a doctor's determination, I guess, and how they do that. I don't know. They didn't cover that for the week that I spent in medical school. But the it was the main artery of the heart, the aorta, literally burst open. Not just the tear. It literally,
so this same thing killed John Ritter.
Massive instant heart attack. And I haven't heard any reports whatsoever that he had been in ill health or had heart trouble. So I think this is just, you know, one of those things that.
Well, I've talked to doctors about this. They said literally, unless you are laying on the table with your chest open, there is no way to save you from this.
Yeah, he collapsed when he was playing hockey with his son. When he was still alive, when they took him to the hospital, they did open his chest and perform surgery. But by that time, it was too late because it was. I guess that's how they determined. Hey, look at this! How I figured this out.
Yeah,
Columbo Richards.
Yeah,
figured this out because they did the surgery, and that's how they determined that the aortic valve had completely burst open.
You have any good news in show business?
Jim Carrey lawsuit. That's not super good news, but the mother of his late girlfriend is suing him.
This is the girlfriend that killed herself?
This is the girlfriend that committed suicide in 2015. She filed a lawsuit against Jim Carrey saying that he transmitted diseases to her.
Oh, boy.
And he filed, responded to the wrongful death lawsuit this week by saying the allegations are irrelevant and they're false and are being used only to embarrass him into making a financial settlement with him. Another celebrity lawsuit, Cher, is being sued on her album cover.
For having all the wigs?
2013. She's got too many wigs. Apparently it's against the law to have that many wigs.
Did I ever tell you that at one point I opened for her, like in two separate shows, and we hit it off. And while I was, you know, telling my hilarious jokes, she walked out. So, you know, I'm standing on stage and there's, you know, I don't know, 22,000 people or whatever. They're not there to see me. They're there to see Cher. And I walk out and suddenly the crowd goes bananas, like 2 minutes in. And it's because Cher is sneaking out behind me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she took one of the headpieces that she was going to wear in the act because she was fascinated by how large my melon was. And she took one of the headpieces and wanted to put it on my head.
And?
Didn't fit.
It was a failed costume change.
Size 7 7/8 will get that problem.
You could have been one, either the gypsy, tramp, or thief.
Yeah, well, she thought both, all three.
How do you recover? Now, is that... Was that
how
the,
do you get back to your act?
Was
you really
the middle
don't.
Of your set?
Like 3 minutes in, yeah.
After something like that happens, how do you get the crowd?
I literally went, ladies and gentlemen, Cher, and I walked off.
Yeah, you pretty much have to. Yeah. Her album cover from 2013 for her album, Closer to the Truth, just has the word Cher in the super fancy logo font. There is a designer who says he created this font and shows it from 2011, saying it's exactly the same as the one that shared, he says, copied without permission. This graphic designer now, Steve, needs $5 million in damages.
I don't think Cher sits around the house and goes, what's the software I can download to do my own album cover? So somebody in Cher's company may have done it. Yeah, just write the check and get it over with, right?
And she said, and in addition to that, said, where's that Steve Cochran who I went on stage that one time with him?
Can we make a larger wig for him?
Does this come in double XL? I have the same size melon as you, though, by the way.
7 7/8?
You did beat me. Yeah. 7 3/4.
Yeah, my football coach actually had to call Riddell, the helmet company, and go, we need a bigger one.
Wow.
Yeah. I couldn't be more proud.
Wow, that is freakish.
Will you be on with us tomorrow?
I will be here with
you. All right, I'll save my sappy Merry Christmas for
tomorrow. And I kind of covered it yesterday. Hello?
And thanks for filling in, by the way.
Is somebody getting a hernia check over there?
That's Pat Brady.
What's that? Oh. Yeah. had a great time filling in yesterday. It was really fun.
We kind of covered
the movies. There's 7 movies that are opening for the Christmas Hanukkah weekend, but we'll recap them all tomorrow morning.
And we have Eliza Hamilton from Hamilton coming in.
We just had her on the...
I was just going to say, yeah. I saw you guys having her sing this morning.
She couldn't be cuter.
How do you pronounce the name?
Ari Afzar? Ari Afzar, yeah.
Ari Afzar. She's got a new song of her own that just dropped, Steve. And you want to say dropped.
That's what the DJs
say. That's what the DJs say now. But she couldn't be nicer. And I'm also going to add, of all the people that we've had on the show today, she has smelled the best.
Does that include everybody?
That includes everybody.
Did you sniff some of the cameramen?
I did. I don't go on the air till I sniff everybody.
Yeah, he did it yesterday in studio. It was very awkward.
I'll bet it was.
Very awkward.
All right, go back and help.
Little weird. Toy drive, drive-through toy drive.
Yes.
Going on till 10 o'clock, 2501 West Bradley Place in Chicago. Oh, also tomorrow, incessant plugging of our Bozo, Gar, and Ray special that's on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah, we get a lot of calls about this every year. Can people buy it?
10 p.m.? No, you can't buy it.
Oh, okay.
You can't
buy it. Okay, well, back off, dude. It wasn't like I was offering.
No, you can't. You can't.
But you can watch it tomorrow night.
No, it's is that Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
So you can watch it 2 nights from now.
Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. But I'm going to plug it tomorrow. I don't want to plug it right now.
Good call by you. That's Dean Richards. All right. As I said, I give everybody a personal Christmas gift. But in the bags that you three have, Vandeveld, Sandberg, and Andrea, is a gift that's similar. Not the envelope, the other thing. Just take it out and hold it up.
He got me yoga pants. The right size and everything. These are so cute. Oh my gosh.
That's not the thing. That's not the thing everybody gets. All right, so I got you all.
This is cool.
I got you all 23andMe.
Mine says Steve.
Does it? I gave you the wrong one.
Uh-oh.
I got you all 23andMe, the DNA kit.
This is cool. I've always wanted to do this.
So we got a swab?
I want to figure out what you three are really made of, because frankly, every day I'm confused.
What?
Come on.
And in addition to, no, just to be fair, I'm going to do it too.
All right, cool.
I know, because mine says Steve. I think I'm going to be boring white person.
I've always prided myself in being 100% Belgian. Now I have to find out on other stuff?
Yeah, we'll find out your full-blooded Cherokee.
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah. But I look forward to Sandberg's coming back that says boring white person. I think that's a scientific term.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So 23andMe, we'll do that on the air.
This is cool. Nice. This is going to be awesome.
Swab. Thanks for the yoga pants.
You're welcome.
Is that true?
It's actually a gift card, but it sounds more troubling to Pat at home if he's listening, if I bought her pants.
The exact size I needed, too.
Yeah, it's crazy. The weird thing is sizing her in the office. Hold still! I'm trying to get the tape measure in the right spot.
Hold on, I want a swab.
Don't swab yet.
No, I'm not.
Are we swabbing today?
We'll come back and do the big story before we swab on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
And your neck breaking out in a cold sweat. And went down, you walked out, you were gone and you didn't look back.
How good is that? It makes me want to be a disc jockey again. Of course, that's 20 years ago. Ariana Officer's here, and I think I have the entire resume memorized. Miss Teen California? Oh, is that right?
You know, close. I was Miss California.
Miss California.
As well as the teen, too, but... Okay. You know, people care more about the
Miss. How do you know I wasn't going to get there?
You said you had the whole resume memorized, so
Miss
I guess
Teen,
so.
Miss California, and always could sing. And you did Idol, was it 2011?
No, 2009.
2009.
16.
And killed it on Idol and been building it ever since. So for those of you who think Ariana is an overnight sensation, yeah. For about the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I would agree with that.
By the way, you smell fantastic.
You know, that is all that matters.
We were just talking about it. It smells so good.
I mean, I wear Jo Malone. Which, by the way, is the worst name for a perfume ever.
No, because
Jo Malone.
It's unisex because Jo is actually a female.
Yeah.
But you think it's a male.
Yeah, Jo Malone. I wear, you know, ma'am? I wear ma'am. It's middle-aged man.
Okay.
It's just a scent of... Pat, do you wear this?
I've heard of that.
I wear post-middle-aged man.
Yes. P-ma'am.
You got the Old Spice going. Old Spice.
Old Spice is still in high school, though. You can find that any age.
And the high karate. Ari is here because she is starring in Hamilton. We'll get to that in just a second. Of course, BroadwayandChicago.com for tickets. But how good is your life? Are you having fun?
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is amazing. It's a dream come true, really. You know, this is the biggest thing that I've been a part of, but also the best thing I could have ever imagined to be a part of. The message that it explains every single night is such an honor to be able to portray. And you know, one of the coolest things for me is I play Eliza Schuyler Hamilton, and Lynn knew from the very beginning, spoiler alert, that the show was going to end on her. And to be able to continue to tell the story 50 years past Alexander Hamilton's death is really beautiful. And I'm honored as a woman to be able to portray this.
Schools don't do a good enough job teaching American history the way they used to. How much about Hamilton did you even know? Prior to being cast.
I mean, you always think, oh, yeah, he's a president, right?
Right. He has something to do with money. Yeah. Wasn't he in, like, an argument and people got shot?
Right. Yeah. Like, Burr, maybe. You know, so the fact that we are talking about this not very revered founding father, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right, the full story.
It's a true story. They're not trying to put him on this pedestal. They're telling the truth about him, but also showing that he created the credit for America, but then ended up, you know, expanding for this entire world. So
he was foundational to the American financial system and probably would have been a great president if not for the fact he had himself a little sex scandal. And he had a sex scandal. Yeah, he had a sex scandal before that was hip. And admitted it to everybody and wrote a series of letters about it to confess to it.
It's hip now.
Yeah, well, you know, it depends.
Bill Clinton.
Noted.
Cleaned all that up.
Oh, yeah, in the 90s.
Right. Not a problem.
But the point being, you get to star in this. It's a lot of work, but you get to star in this, and then it just opens the door to other things. So it's pretty cool being you right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's incredible. Yeah, 8 shows a week. It's a new experience for me. It's hard, but during this time of what's going on in the world, I wouldn't want to be portraying a message anything other than
how do you I mean, I don't even know if I could play golf 8 times a week. How do you keep pumped up to do that much?
You know, people are always like, oh my gosh, you know there's definitely some heart-wrenching parts, but these lyrics are so just open the door to your heart. Like, it's so colloquial and honest and real that you can't help to feel these emotions. So whatever happens during the day, like this interview, everything that happened will affect my two performances.
Yeah, I'd like you to see me work my name in to both shows today if you could.
What was that?
Just work my name into both shows if you could.
Yeah, sure.
Steve Cochran, no early show and late show.
What was your name again?
Hold on. Can you get this?
A duel is in order. Not going to miss your shot, Steve Cochran.
Andrea, you talk to Ari. We're fighting.
You're having a fake fight. There's going to be a duel in Pioneer Court in a few minutes. Ari, you are magnificent as Eliza. Not only learn so much about him, but there's so much I didn't know about Eliza. Your character is as polarizing and as magnificent as Alexander Hamilton.
Absolutely not. You know, and that was the first thing, even in Ron Chernow's book, the epilogue at the end, I went straight to that because I wanted to know everything about her. And that's kind of, I think, what Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Tells Her Story was, I would assume, I'm guessing, about that last chapter. So being able to learn more about her was incredible through that book and through the depiction of this musical.
Sandberg, say hi.
Hi. I already told Ari that my stepdaughter, Catherine, she's 12 and a half, and she's been singing these songs for 7.5 months every time she takes a shower. She knows it's a long soundtrack.
That's impressive, dude. I don't know
it all. All of them.
It's a long shower.
Yeah. I was. Yeah. She takes really long showers. You have to fight.
Typical dad move,
they,
right?
How much time are you spending in a shower?
Poor hands are all pruney.
All the hot water's gone. Right, right. I wanted to know, prior to you getting this role here for the Chicago cast, were you already cast by the time New York was happening? Like, were you aware of Hamilton or?
I was a Hamill fan before. Okay. Yeah. No, I had tried.
Did you have an agent sniffing it out for you?
I was kind of in the working on my EP, my headspace wasn't really in musical theater right when it was happening.
Was Lynn hip to what you were doing? I mean, he's a pretty, guy that's...
No, I'm not that cool. I didn't
about Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I mean, I was a ghostwriter. I'd been on like some things for like ABC's shows, Mixology. I had written some stuff for Disney Channel, like all in the LA kind of world. And then I took a very...
Hold on a second. Mixology was a comedy. You writing comedy too?
You know, no. I was a songwriter for it.
Okay, so you're working
on. Yeah, she did just rip you, so she has.
You know, I have many tricks under my.
I forgot we're still fighting.
But yeah, so I made a very anti Ariana whimsical decision to go to New York, and so I booked it in New York in like earlier this year, and that's. But it was not really on my radar. It was kind of like a thrown decision to go out there.
Where were you when you got? Do you remember when you got the call or the text?
Oh my gosh!
Or where were you and what'd you do?
Yeah, so I was at the 9/11 memorial.
Oh come on!
Yeah, so yeah, if you haven't seen it, it's
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable,
but it's also unbelievably somber.
Yeah,
so you get this celebration phone call.
No. So I get this call, and my manager and agents have been calling me, and I'm like. No, I'm enjoying and living in the moment. This is like the most beautiful thing to be a part of. Very sad. And then she's like, you must call me now. So I step outside of the actual like room, but I'm still inside of the museum.
Oh.
And I get this call. And I'm like, I'm like, congratulations. I'm like, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So did you have to run out? Because by the way, it goes down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had to go, you would have
no,
to take an elevator
and
up
I finished
and run out.
The museum.
Wow.
It was so that whole
That's
day.
That's a great story.
But it was just completely polar opposite emotions. Yeah. And my agent was like, you know, this is good, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm at the 9/11 memorial and I'm not going to scream and shout right now.
I'll call you back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's a great
story. It was insane.
Wow, but just a whirlwind you must have gone through from that point until now.
It's crazy.
How many new best friends do you have that want tickets?
Right. You know what? Actually, I haven't been noticing that much. I think actually people are scared to ask. So I've been.
I'm not.
Oh. Cochran told me to ask. There we go.
Pat needs four, but you're not. Well, yeah. by the way, four up front.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying Chicago?
Yeah, the city is so awesome.
I heard you'd never been here before. Is that accurate?
I'd been here for a weekend in February, randomly, which was, you know, the best time for the weather. So I really
definitely coming February.
Yeah, the best time. But no, I mean, even right now, it's sunny and beautiful and the streets are clean.
Yeah.
You don't really get to experience that in New York. And the architecture is unbelievable. It's gorgeous. So
you got a favorite restaurant yet?
My restaurant kind of like, well, actually either the Atwood in the Loop or, Girl and the Goat in the West Loop.
Girl
and the Goat like really treats Hamilton well.
Do they?
Oh,
yeah.
They do.
Dude,
yeah,
I got the chef's table when I went. It was dope.
See?
That's usually good. The problem with the chef's table sometimes, Pat, is, you know, if you go into the kitchen, you actually see how it's made. And, you know, it can be crazy. You get a crazy chef. One crazy chef and one knife toss, suddenly your evening's over.
I don't get beyond the Billy Goat, so I don't know.
Oh, the Billy Goat is a different restaurant entirely. I want to ask you about the song we played a second ago and tell people how to get it in just a second as well. Broadway in Chicago. Also, are you guys still doing those special, maybe we have four tickets for Hamilton tonight deals? Are those still happening?
Yeah, they do. Four tickets?
44.
44, but on show days, right?
Yeah.
On show days, there's a lottery for those extra tickets.
Last weekend was so cool. There was a lottery, and then the cast was performing.
Yeah, we did a Ham for Ham.
Yeah, Ham for Ham. Isn't that cool?
It was awesome. We all, like some of the cast came out, and we did little jingle tunes. And performed for, like, I think it was, like, 600 people that were there, which was awesome. It was so, so fun.
Samber, do you have the details on that I'm missing?
I do. They're in the producer's booth when I finish Facebook Live.
All right, we'll come back. We'll give you the details. I want to make sure you know these so people can be a part of this. All right? It's coming back.
Yeah, the first two rows. So the cast will see and make eye contact with you.
Yeah. Now, there's another special deal where you get to go.
I'm trying to figure out how I can do this.
There's another special deal where you get to go backstage.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. I don't either.
Oh, I'm not involved in that. Oh.
Just because you become one of my best friends, and I'll take you backstage.
That's it. That's it. No chance of that happening after today, right?
Are you guys making up now?
No, she's still mad. You can tell. This event, you can save $5,200 in total cash on a 2017 Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive. That's $5,200 in savings. Get yours today. You know, it's not an ice blue Chevy Impala.
Blue Thunder.
Oh, interesting choice by the judge.
Boy, that was rude.
That was tough. That was tough judging today. But the Chevy Equinox for the holidays is what you want. It's a terrific ride. See your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today. Or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. It's a gift you're not going to want to return. The lovely and talented Ariana Afsar is here, and she stars in Hamilton. Again, BroadwayInChicago.com. But listen, if you go to hashtag ham for ham, there's a lottery for 44 day of show tickets for $10 each. And that's every show, right? Every show. BroadwayInChicago.com/Hamilton Lottery. And if you get an opportunity to go, like if somebody calls you, this is one of those things like, you know, Blackhawks sold out every night, right? If you had tickets to the Cubs run at the end and somebody calls and goes, dude, I got two. You know, whatever you have to do, sell the kids. Whatever you have to do, just get to the show.
That's right.
Because these are Hamilton tickets.
Hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, without a question. So, and be a part of that lottery, too, if that works out for you. Ari, tell me about the song that I played. And is it an EP now or a full album?
It's I'm working on EP. So just the single has dropped.
Okay.
Hopefully next year, the whole thing will release.
That's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. I've been working on it for 2 years. And it's fantastic to be able to have a platform to, like, people are interested in it. I couldn't have asked for something better.
Well, and this opens another door for that, too, right?
Yeah. Songwriting is every day. It's a part of my everyday life.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You got a process, like you get up and write, or you just do it when it hits you?
It just hits. Yeah, I have to. I can't force it, but I have to be creative. It's,
right.
Yeah, I'm an artist, quote unquote, cheesy.
Well, no, it's not cheesy at all. now, look, I know this. You know this. Pretty only gets you so far. I mean, look at the problems I've had with it.
I know. The burdens.
Beyond being beautiful, you have to have talent. You've backed this up with talent. So not
Thanks.
That you need to look past Hamilton, but how do you stay in the moment? You're 25 or 6 or something. How do you stay in the moment and really enjoy this and not go, okay, I got this next and that next and everything else that's up?
I think when we're doing the show, it's all about the show. So when we're in the theater, it's a safe space to do the work and connect with our fellow actors and be a part of the show. You take a step back and you realize the phenomenon that is Hamilton and realize, like, okay, I want to be releasing my EP. I want to be doing something, blah, blah, blah. But once we are working, which is majority of my weekday, 8 shows a week, then I'm doing the show and I'm in the moment and I'm loving every moment of it.
And who in the cast annoys you the most?
No.
I'm not about to throw someone on the bus. No one. I love
them all.
Everyone. No, there's always a love-hate relationship.
Who's the biggest practical joker?
Stereotypically,
backstage?
I'll say Lafayette Jefferson, Chris Lee, because he's just a jokester. But also, we have a swing who's a big jokester, Kobe Lewis. He always likes to pull pranks, which always makes me really excited and happy.
Well,
no sarcasm.
It's great to meet you. You know, we had the Phantom in here last week, and we have a great relationship with our friends at Broadway in Chicago, and there's so many great shows in town. So
Phantom
I hope you get
my
your tickets.
Musical.
It is.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, putting it out to the universe one day, Christine Daae.
Look at you. HamiltonOnBroadway.com, Facebook.com/Hamilton Musical, Instagram.com/Hamilton Musical, same on Twitter. And don't forget, hashtag ham for ham for the daily lottery of those 44 tickets. I wish you nothing but success, but
thank
you don't need
you.
Help from us, man.
No,
you're killing it.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I'm super excited to be here and be a part of the show. It's
unbelievable
awesome.
Performance, especially by you. I mean,
thanks.
You'll be in tears at the end of it. It's wonderful.
Well, she shouldn't cry because she's actually
in
the show.
I'm in tears. Yeah. She is in tears, too.
It's real. It's real. I don't fake it. It's real life.
Yeah, it is great. It is great. That's a wonderful thing.
I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not.
I'm not being sarcastic.
No,
I'm deadly serious. And by the way, Joe Malone, good move by you. continued success. We'll see you at the theater. This is Chicago. Oh, and by the way, best place to get your single.
Spotify and iTunes.
Sure.
And then my music video is on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is Chicago's. Mine is not on YouTube currently.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of days before Christmas. Probably a good time to start your shopping. Got a few 21, it's gonna be a good year. You're the Blackhawk store right downtown here on Michigan Avenue. You and me see it in together. You can never go wrong with Blackhawk's gear.
My problem is when I go in the store, I want to buy for myself and others, but then myself again.
Right. So you're covering yourself is what you're telling me.
Yeah, basically.
Right. At 912, Coach Q standing by, sponsored by Hooters. You know, Andy, it's not just the original winning joint. Mm. It's a way of life.
That's what I've heard.
And yesterday, saw Coach Q at the Blackhawks Christmas party, and we bonded. How long did we talk yesterday, Coach? Was it 3 seconds, 4 seconds? It was a good talk, didn't you think?
Yeah, that was, it was brief.
I thought we really opened up, really aired it out.
You should tell Coach about your present.
Pat Brady is here, and Pat brought me a Blackhawks blanket because he said at my age, my feet might get cold and I could wrap myself up.
There you go.
What do you mean, there you go? You're supposed to be on my side. So, how are you? You good?
Doing fine.
That was a good party yesterday.
Yeah, that's nice to see everybody together. The group's getting bigger and growing every year, and the guys are... back in the day, go back 9 years ago, was a few of the guys had wives and girlfriends, and but not many kids. But now we got, it seems like that family's growing. The kids are starting to be at around Santa, and it's a different group here. So it's maturing and it's growing as we speak.
It was cool because you see these guys who are some of the toughest guys in town, toughest guys in sports, who just melt around their own kids. You know, you see Dunks with his son, I think, right? And a little boy? I think it's a little boy.
Colton, yep.
Yeah, and, you know, holding up Colton and go, there's Santa. There's Santa. You know, and Hossa, you know, just he was a great dad, you know, with his girls. And I saw Soup Campbell with his two girls and one of his daughters. I go, well, how old are you? And she holds up four fingers. And Brian was trying to hold down one. He goes, no, it's three. And she goes, Daddy, on my next birthday. So she was already rounding up, Coach.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good day for everybody.
Ah, it was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was happy to be there. And I thought that the tips I made in serving were pretty good, too. So why else would I have been there? All right, Coach. So I saw Taser for a bit yesterday. We were talking for a while. He looks great. Says he feels great. I just told him, hey, maybe stay out of the corners a little bit. Let the kids get hurt.
Well, he's coming around, and he's feeling better every day, and you know, I thought he skated better last game, and I think that he's, you know, he's coming. You know, he's that Taser that we expect to play. Played a ton of minutes last game, probably more than we like to play him. But you know, without Artie here, we probably use him a little bit more. So we'll try to gauge that and manage his minutes a little better, and try to keep him around the 20 number.
You said something, which is a day at work for you, but I don't think the regular hockey fan maybe identifies with it. When you say he's skating better, what do you see that maybe we don't see as average fans?
Well, I think when he's going into the injury, playing with the injury, the injuries, I think the speed and the quickness and it's not as controlled, it's more natural. And, you know, you're going a little faster and you're probably a little bit more comfortable moving and, you know, in the puck area as well.
So more free. It'd be like watching a guy that is a wide out on a football field, maybe with a little limp. You can pick it up and you can see maybe he's not running at full speed. You're seeing him skate the way he skates when he feels good.
Exactly. More natural.
Got it.
Coach, with Corey Crawford coming back, how difficult is it for a goalie after being off for that long a time to get back into the flow of things? He was playing really well, obviously, before the appendectomy.
Yeah, it's a goalies are you know, they're a little different as far as knowing that getting that conditioning and getting that feel of the net and traffic and pucks and you know, you're out there the whole game. You're constantly can be tested, and you always got to be on your toes and alert. And in Corey's situation here, he had that practice the other day. We'll get a lot of work here today, getting him ready for that. But till you get that feel again where you're getting hit by the puck and you're getting guys pushing you and shoving you. It's a it's different when you've been off for even a couple weeks here. So it'll be a good test for him right off the bat, but we want to get him that feel of that net. And I think whether it's one game or one period or the first shot, I think that he'll recapture that feeling instantly and be the goalie we've been seeing all along here, especially how well he's been doing here this year.
You know, it seems to be that there's never been more contact on the goalie. Goalies are getting decked left and right. Does that go to the speed of the game, or am I just forgetting that goalies got knocked down left and right when I was watching as a kid as well?
Well, I think every game is different. We saw the other goalie get knocked down with the Dallas guy, and so we see a 4-game suspension to Eakins. Every game's different. I don't think the goalies necessarily be getting run over because now they've taken some goals away that are bumps at the net where they can review it, and whether you get pushed in or you're going to the net. So they're trying to protect the goalies like they always have. And more so over the last 10 years or so. But I think guys are respectful knowing that, hey, what's the advantage? You're going to get a penalty or you're going to get the goal taken away. So go to the net hard, and that's the only way you can score in our league here. So you got to find that balance of trying to get in the goalie's face, trying to be disruptive as you can without interfering with him, and knowing that the only way you're going to get a goal most of the times here is you got to take away his eyes and screen him and get second opportunities. But that's the bulk of the scoring now, is point shots, tip shots, and second opportunities off the rebounds. It seems to be how you manufacture goals 5-on-5, and you know you got to get greasy in that area and try to find and come up with some stuff.
Obviously, understanding that guys like Hinostroza and Hartman are not finished products or polished products by any stretch, but how impressed are you early on in their careers to be able to pick up the concept that you like to preach with playing both ways, not just offensively, but being responsible defensively?
Now, there's progress there, and I think their game, whether it's defensively or offensively, putting it all together is what we want, and that consistency of knowing what we're going to get game in, game out is the best way we feel these guys can make an impression at our level, get yourself established, and continue to improve upon those levels. And I think that we're seeing progress there, whether there's production. I think they're getting better in their own end. They're getting better through the neutral zone and a little bit more predictable in how we want to move or how we play and how we get the puck back as quick as possible. And then I think we can do a better job across the board, not just those two guys. Our team is when we put the puck or when we get it off our stick, give ourselves a chance to keep it and get it back. But it's I think we've improved in that area, but I still think there's a way to go for us to be at our best, and let's keep the puck as long as we can.
The Avs come in and they could really use a win, especially against you guys being top dogs. What are you watching for with these guys, and what should fans be looking for?
I haven't seen much of them. They play tonight, so that's that'll be an interesting group. They're going to get in late. They, traveling from Colorado to here. So we'll watch them play tonight. And it's a young team. Saw them earlier. We started to get better against them over the last year and change. They had our number there prior to that. But it's a game here. We got to make sure that we could keep the focus going into this last game, going into the Christmas break, and play the right way. I thought we had a good finish in the third period like we had in the last 3 or 4 games. It's our start that we're talking about here in the last little bit here, and getting off to a quick start is what we're looking for.
So Crawford gets the call tomorrow night, and he's good to go.
Very likely Crow's going to get the call.
All right. You want to call me later when you've decided completely?
Yeah.
Okay. Same arrangement. Coach doesn't like to talk about it. He usually calls me around 5. He goes, "You like the moves I'm making?" And then I wake up and go, "He never called. That was a dream." Coach, it's always a pleasure. I know we're not going to talk before Christmas. I just want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, and the Blackhawks family at large, for all the enjoyment that you give us as hockey fans. It's a great thing, but I hope you get a little bit of time to take a breath and enjoy it, and enjoy the Christmas season as well. It's always a work day for you, but we love this team, as you know, and we love what you've done with it. So it's a pleasure to watch you coach them, and it's a pleasure to watch them play. Merry Christmas, my friend.
All right. Merry Christmas to Steve and to you and the whole crew there and all our fans out there. Merry Christmas.
There you go. Coach Q.
Merry Christmas, Coach. I'm still laughing at you guys talking in the afternoon. That's
Yeah, Q calls me.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "What do you think?" You take a look at the notes I sent, and then I wake up.
I would think he'd be more of a texter, Steve.
I do have some phone numbers, right? So I should pick up a phone and call him and go, hey, coach, I'm thinking the second line needs a couple of adjustments, and just have a bet on how long before he hangs up on me.
Yeah, I hear you going, hello? 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 Can you hear me?
That's the bad thing about cell phones. You can't really hang up firmly on anybody.
You think it would go something like this? Hey, I don't come over there and tell you how to do that little clown show you do every morning, so why would you tell me how to coach? 9:22, we're back with more in a moment on 720 WG. They told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. There's certain things in life you got to see the video to really appreciate it, like the little girl, the 10-year-old singing Hallelujah. The video really enhances it. This is one where it's better just to hear it. David Bowie and Bing.
It's an awkward video.
It's a really awkward video.
Yeah, it's
video.
Very awkward. Years from now, perhaps
we'll see. It's 9:26. Pat Brady's here. My friend Pat Brady, in case I missed the opportunity to say it, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Appreciate everything you do for the show, but also
you're very good at that. But let me interrupt you for a second, because I don't think you ever get it back, and I think that your viewers need to know, or your listeners need to know.
Well,
exactly,
both. We're on CLTV now. Wave to the cameras.
What you are a guy that is unique, that you're constantly doing something for others. I've asked you to do things last couple of years, charity appearances, whatever. You're always doing stuff for other people. I mean this sincerely. You helped me out a couple of years ago. Kind of got me off my back and back into this. So I can't thank you enough, and I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
The cool thing about Pat and I being friends is, you know, he's much younger than I am, as he likes to point out, 2 weeks younger. So he keeps me active. You know, just when I want to go back to the home and just have soup and wrap myself up in my new Blackhawks blanket, Pat says, no, let's get out.
We can
let's
play the backside, Steve. We don't have to just play 9 today. We can play 18.
It's not good when you get to a point where 18 holes in a cart makes you tired.
Because I'm redoing my calendar for the new year. When's your anniversary again?
Pat and me?
Yeah.
Well, you can't talk about it publicly. Yeah. By the way, somebody came up to me the other day. It's an interesting question, because they love what you do when you talk about politics here, which we do every Thursday. But they go, I don't know what Pat does for a living. So
I walk around the loop with a file and act busy.
But your company is called
Next Generation Strategies. I do a lot of lobbying, but I also have a law practice, so I have several law clients.
Right. And is it all related to politics?
It's all related to where business intersects with government.
Got it.
So people that have issues, regulatory or otherwise, legislative, or I concentrate on D.C. and the executive branch here, the governor's office, or the people in D.C. So that's what it is. It's lobbying, so it's advocacy.
And when you go to the Capitol, which you do a lot, mm-hmm. Are you optimistic, pessimistic, or somewhere in between?
I'm optimistic because I do sincerely believe that the Madigan regime is coming to an end slowly, and it's very difficult. But I do believe that ultimately that he's going to be either defeated by his own party.
So do I.
For the speakership, or but the you got to give the governor a lot of credit, and I'm a big fan and have been for a long time. He's sticking to his guns. He's independent, and he's done a great job for the state. And most importantly, for the first time in a long, long time, taxpayers are actually represented in Springfield. And I think the story in the next election cycle is going to be just how great the reforms he has made to the state have been. And people don't realize how poorly the state has been managed and operated from the executive branch. It was a complete joke.
Yeah.
And now he's really putting in.
And it goes back to Republican and Democrat governors who had been phoning it in for years for their own benefit.
For their own benefit. It's set up as a patronage army to get you elected, and it's not that way anymore. It used to be, who are you bringing in? Who are you? Now it's, don't bring anybody in here that doesn't talk about a good policy that's going to help the state. And that's not saying that because I'm a partisan, and I am, but I truly believe he's transforming the state. It's just we got to get rid of the one impediment.
That's why there is selective, in my case, reason to be optimistic about what Trump could get done.
Sure.
Because when you have someone who doesn't need to use the office to enrich themselves, that is a good freeing mechanism to actually do the right thing for more people. Now, I'm not accusing Trump of doing the right thing yet. He doesn't have the job. But I, whenever I hear people write Rauner off and go, he's just making his friends rich. No, when you have Rauner's money, your friends are rich.
Why would he care anyway?
But they don't need it. The point is, you have to take a step back and go, how much sense does that make? Whether you heard it from somebody else or not, it doesn't make any sense that Bruce Rauner needs the state of Illinois government in the mess that it's in to somehow enrich his rich friends. It's a ridiculous notion.
Well, Steve Brown, the Madigan's flacky spokesperson, makes those idiotic statements all the time, but it makes no sense. The reality is, I think Governor Rauner's been a great public servant. Whether you agree or disagree with everything he's done, he's trying to do the things that need to be done. And again, we need to get rid of the one impediment and to get the state back on the right track.
By the way, the impediment's welcome here anytime. Mike Madigan, remember the I in Madigan's for impediment in this case. And
Chuck Titus said it. He's the last.
The last state in the union where you've got somebody in the legislature that's running the state their way and into the ground.
And the greatest, we're sitting in the greatest city in the world, and I think one of the greatest states in the country, and we need to get some different management down there, at least at the legislative level.
Am I wrong about what I said earlier? If you heard me talking about you the way I talk about Madigan, wouldn't you get on here with the biggest talk show audience in Chicago and say, first off, you're lucky I don't sue you. Secondarily, you're wrong about this, 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 and this, and we can't even get the guy to return a phone call, partly because he doesn't have a phone, apparently. But Madigan's said, welcome here, and his opponent that we believe will run for speaker's name again is?
Scott Drury. We are hoping, and again, he said and ran as an independent former federal prosecutor that's not under Madigan's thumb or aligned with anyone, that he wanted to go down there and do good for the people. Well, if you want to do good for the people, you got to run, and if you don't, you're just full of baloney like everybody else.
Back in a moment with the big story, and then we got a special John DeCosta song we're going to play coming up here in a little bit. Tomorrow, last show before Christmas, and then, you know, these two shows I'm doing, obviously they're winding me, so I'll be off next week as well, but we're leading up to New Year's Eve and the big New Year's Eve show, so we'll remind you how you can get tickets for that too, all coming up on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself.
9:44 now.
Language we all understand.
You know what? Does Pat Brady have a song? Pat Brady doesn't have a song, does he?
I don't think
Pat Brady have a song? You don't have a song, do you? A customized John DeCosta song?
No, John doesn't like me.
You get in line, right?
Yeah. Well,
you don't like Pat
Deli?
He
really doesn't like me. When I come in the studio, he leaves.
I don't think Jake has a song. Sandberg doesn't have a song, but can you imagine trying to rhyme Sandberg or Boyle with anything? I mean, that's not easy.
Foil? Coil?
Yeah. The reason I bring all this up, John DeCosta, musical director of the program, is standing by. And, John, you tell me that what we're going to hear here in a moment is maybe your best work.
Hey, it's just you and me talking. I can't stand Pat Brady.
No, actually, we're on the air, but it's fine.
I love Pat.
Hey, John, how you kidding. Doing?
But this song about our boss up until Halloween, well, frankly, he'll always be the boss. This song, you're proud of this. This is one of your masterpieces.
Oh, no question. But I spent a lot of time on it. We even did some artistic license here. We did a the beginning of the song is going to sound a little muffled, but it is to explain the how dark it was prior to Jimmy coming, and then it opens up and clears up. The clouds go away. So,
all right,
it's good. I'm really happy with this.
All right, stand by. I'll need you for a plug for our New Year's Eve show. So don't hang up. In the meantime, Jimmy DeCastro is not only a friend forever, but Jimmy DeCastro, the story I've told many times, got together with me back in, I want to say maybe February of 2013. And I was out in the radio wilderness, and he told me that he was considering coming back. This is a guy who's done very well. I don't mean that like in a typical North Shore way, like we do very well.
And you said, yes, please.
No, I actually said, what are you, crazy? Why would you do that? Fortunately, he realized I was an idiot and said, no, we're going to do this, and I want you to come back. And we eventually agreed that I'd do the morning show, and the rest has worked out very well indeed for us. But all the things that hopefully you like about WGN start with Jimmy DeCastro, from bringing in Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez and you know, keeping Jackie to do her thing, and then bringing in Shanae and bringing in all the other people, all the creative, fun people that we have around, you know, Duffy and the people, the names you don't hear every day. are all there, everybody back in sales. DeCastro, basically, he came in, he saw the people from the first Star Wars movie in the bar scene that were running this place, and he was able to get rid of them.
The cantina.
and made it good again. So I just think it's great that we're able to do this before he takes his family off for a Christmas vacation. As Jimmy DeCastro joins us now, do you mind if I call you the boss? Always the boss?
Hey, no. We're always a team, baby. I miss everybody. What a gang. Orion, Pat Brady, the Coach Q. I'm honored. I feel honored to be on today.
And you get a song. This is like a Christmas present for the cause.
It's like Christmas Day. You know, you're sitting on the top of the stairs. And I kind of go along with Dakash. You know, that Brady, I'm not sure about that Brady guy. You know, but he's not there, is he?
No. All right. Now, this song might be a little long, but I think it's your ringtone. And I look forward to you making your family listen to this while they're on vacation for the next week.
Not a problem.
All right. I know you got to run soon. Have a great trip. I love you. Merry Christmas. And by the way, I've never told a boss that before, I don't think.
I was going to say, this is historic. It's another Christmas miracle.
There's bosses all over America who have fired me and thrown me out going, I don't love me. But this song's for you.
Let me just say Merry Christmas to everybody before you fire the song up. And God's blessings to everybody, the listeners, the audience, and all the incredible people that you bring to that morning troop that make it so great to wake up every day. So big love and Merry Christmas.
All right, bud. Thanks. Safe trip. Hold on. Here it is, John DeCoste and a song for Jimmy.
In 2013, in September, after Jimmy took GM from Pretenders, bringing back the pride that's lost its way. But now he's leaving, he's left all of our hearts with sad feelings. Best news, HR complaints are decreasing. They sold the building for the fines to pay. Jimmy D DeCastro, GM Station Maestro, you set the sails. The course we're on is here to stay. We can see clearly now, the future's much brighter now. The reason is DeCastro's way. Our thanks are with you. We busted all of our butts just to please you. You're like a Category 5 tornado, blowing successful paths along the way. Now we'll miss you, but can't hear when you leave. You drive a Tesla, but what you need to know now, just remember, our hearts are filled with love for you today.
A-O-L, yes, it is. That's the same DeCastro.
He saved us all, 720 from disaster. We'll miss him each and every moment of the broadcast day.
That DeCastro, he ain't a mother as that mother Jimmy is the best guy in the biz today.
That was fantastic. Wow. Best part with the beeps.
And to work in the cursing at the end. Honestly, really special, John. Thank you for that.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. That was good.
Jimmy's lawsuit will be coming, and the attorneys are on line one. We're back. More with John in just a second, too, on 720 WGN. What are you doing New Year's Eve? Why don't you join us for two shows, two cities, all day entertainment? And then I'm going to head for St. Louis for the outdoor game, where Dave Ennett and I will do the pregame on, what is it, Monday? Is Monday?
That's the 2nd.
Yeah, Monday, January 2nd. So big fun to be had, starting with New Year's Eve. By the way, John DeCoste, musical director of the program, Mr. DeCastro says thank you very much. He was touched, and his attorneys will be in touch with you.
There's a knock at my door.
Yeah, you don't want that. That's scary. But nice job by you. That was great.
Suit. Oh, no. A lot of fun.
All right, so tell people who will be at the 1 o'clock show at the Row in Crystal Lake.
The 1 o'clock show will be Pat McGann, is our main feature comic.
Funny guy.
Of course. Oh, my God.
Multiple Letterman appearances. Yep. Always killing it at Zany's. Pat McGann. We love Pat McGann.
So good. So good. Tim Banker, the band, you and I. It's a lot of fun. 1 o'clock, Row Center in Crystal Lake. Do you want me to tell them how to get tickets?
And you go online where to get them?
You can go to rowcenter.org.
Okay.
Or you can call their box office directly at 815-356-9212.
All right. And then at 6 o'clock, we will be, for the first time, we're excited about this. People have been saying, when are you going to come back west? You haven't done a show since, I don't know, I guess maybe it was at the Mackinac Art Center at DuPage Community College, right?
Yeah, I think it was like one of our first ones, 2001, something like that. Yeah,
so it's been forever. So we're headed west.
Yep.
And we will be at the beautiful Tivoli in Downers Grove.
Beautiful, beautiful theater. Absolutely. And tickets are going so quickly. I'm so pleased with this. But that one, downtown Downers Grove, the Tivoli Theater, you can go to classiccinemas.com, push on the Eventbrite icon and get your tickets, or you can go to cochranecomedy.com, and there's also a link there.
Yeah, cochranecomedy.com is a great way to get tickets, and you can see fabulous photos of all of us when we were younger. We hope we'll see you there for either one of those shows, because it'll be great.
And the 6 o'clock is our own Patty Vasquez, and of course Uncle Larry Reeve will be doing that show as well. So two different shows. It's fun.
Yeah, Patty Vasquez, Larry Reeve, and I will do the annual year in review.
Yes.
Where I mock the events of the year. Pat, we were talking about this. John and I were talking about the show, and I said to John, explain to me how I make 2016 funny.
That'll be hard, but I'm going to be there, and if it's not, I'm going to boo.
He's going to heckle you from the crowd.
That's what Cochran, that's not funny.
That's what friends are for. All right, John, thank you, and you'll be on the show tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow.
All right, see you, Mike. Pat Brady, what are your plans for Christmas?
5 a.m., I will be hopping on a plane with my family to go to San Diego. I will be surfing by 10:30, hopefully.
Where are you going? Tinley? Where are you surfing?
I'm sorry, San Diego.
Oh, San Diego. Okay.
Yeah. Which is our tradition, so how about you guys?
What about Andy?
I'd like to go with you to San Diego, if that's okay.
How long did you live out there, 10 years?
Seven years.
Yeah. This is the time of year to be in San Diego.
Yes.
But what are you doing for the holiday?
You know what? A whole lot of nothing, which is fine.
A lot of us on the Christian side of the equation think, oh, Hanukkah. The Jews, they love the Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Hanukkah,
Christmas Eve.
I would rank Hanukkah as, what, third biggest of the big three holidays?
It's the most festive, I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Of the big three.
The others are contemplative and...
Correct. One of the big ones is a celebration of the new year.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
The other is an atonement kind of a situation.
So you can't eat for
but
one
you
get
a
week.
Lot to atone
yeah,
for
one day for a fast. Yeah, and then Hanukkah is the big blowout. Yeah,
yeah. So, do you want anything for Hanukkah?
Don't.
I can make you a deal on a menorah with 8 lights.
Perfect. I would be the first one on my block to have one like that.
Anyway, happy holidays, buddy.
Happy holidays, right back at you.
Thanks, I appreciate you filling in on the show. I'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be here tomorrow. Secret Santa tomorrow.
Thanks to everybody at CLTV. Back tomorrow with the final show of the year for me after this on 720 WGN. Bill, it's not Bill and Wendy. It's Pete and...
Pete and Jane.
Oh, this is the woman that doesn't like me.
No, she used to know who you were.
Oh, she didn't know me.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That one.
That's
next,
a pretty long list.
That is a long list of women that don't like me. How much time you got?
Yeah, that's
back after this on 720 WGN.